Ah, it's really nice to get out of town. Even if it rains, we can still go inside and play some Xbox, right, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, want to go inside and play the Xbox, eh? Well, let me tell you something. Crony Master 420 is here to tell you Xbox has no games. That's right. Got no games. You want AA quality? Go ahead and take it for $15. I'll pay $100 for nothing but AAA quality. All right. Enjoy Starfield. Bust the stop!
This is the X&C Podcast, your Xbox newscast, featuring Colt Eastwood and Gaz, hosting industry interviews and gaming talk live on YouTube every Monday night at 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. For all of you listening around the world, X&C Podcast is available on demand on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Welcome to the show. Join the chat, hit the like button, and let's get into this week's topics with the Xbox newscast.
Sounds a bit.
We're finally here. Oh my gosh. And I hope everything is good to go. What a crazy start here. Welcome to the X&C Podcast. I'm Colt Eastwood, who doesn't know how to run a podcast, but good thing I have my co-host Gaz here to like walk me through it like I was doing major surgery. And he's like, no, Colt, no, quit using your foot. Use a scalpel. How are you, Gaz?
I'm good. I'm great. I got Mag here. Mad like Mag. It's going to be a mad show, man. And I love that little intro you put for people who don't know Mag. Now you do. Hello, Mag.
Well, good evening, guys. This is one very dramatic start to the show, but I got to tell you, I didn't even know you guys were going to put a clip of me at the beginning of the show, but that's fantastic. You know what? The engagement has been wonderful. A lot of positive feedback, a lot of not so positive feedback. But, you know, that's how it goes. You know what? When it comes to entertainment, you're either going to get loved by some, hated by some, but you know what? At the end of the day, they're all going to watch you anyway. But anyways, what a fantastic invite, guys. Thank you so much, Colt, for inviting me here, and Gaz, for inviting me on the show tonight. I can't wait to get into this.
Well, it can only...
I didn't invite you. I have no autonomy. This is a dictatorship. Colt Eastwood is a piece of...
Yeah, I mean, it can only be a good time. Yeah, I didn't even check with Gaz. I don't know what it was. I saw it. So I should give a proper introduction. You know, we came in hot like a meteor, covered it like a bomb coming from a plane, covered in physical matter. But we're here, and I'll give a proper introduction to Mag. Mag is a dude in the community. He's on Boomsticks podcast. He is just been making these little, I don't know what you'd call them, but little skit little. Videos that are
our guest little what. They are massive.
They are, okay, yes, they are massive. Well, first they start out as this little thing, like shot on a phone, and they explode on social media, and I have not ceased to check out every single one of them. Of course, the one I played at the beginning of the show is one of my favorites, and it's always good to get in a little bit of console war, just as long as you have fun and everyone else doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people take what I do for whatever reason, they take it seriously. And a lot of people call me all kinds of names, you know, as you can imagine. A lot of them are unmentionables on the air. But either way, it doesn't matter. You know what? Some days they call me an X-Bot. The next day they call me a pony. They call me whatever. And, you know, the thing is, I'm like, guys, you know what? All I'm doing is just mimicking what I see. Right. And so I'm just making fun of what I see. And that's where this all came from. And I've been doing it for years, obviously not on camera, but with other people, you know, people arguing this side and that side for whatever reason. And then I just kind of mosey in and just sort of make fun of everybody. And that's kind of what I do. I just make fun of people and I just have a good time doing it. I just, you know, hope that people get a good laugh out of it, you know, and some people don't take it so seriously. And and I mean, of course, I try to up the ante. I almost separated my shoulder last year doing an Uncharted video where I jumped off the side balcony of my house.
You're a G, dude.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. I tried to be Nathan Drake, and I literally launched myself off the balcony, and I almost separated my shoulder, but I did get permanent tendon damage from that. I almost drove my car into a ditch.
But the video was good.
The video was great. I almost drove my car into a ditch because I was wearing a horse head while I was driving down my street, and I couldn't see. But I told my wife, I said, don't stop filming. It doesn't matter what happens. And, yeah, I almost drove a Tesla right into a ditch. So, yeah, that was my last video. Good times. But, hey, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about some crazy stuff tonight because we had one heck of a week in the gaming community. So let's get right into it.
Holy smokes. Yeah, it's been super crazy. We're going to jump right into it. And I know people are here to hear some of the interesting things that popped off. Normally, I read through some of the channel members and Patreon veterans. I'm going to skip that today just to take a minute because people don't like a whole lot of like business stuff pushed in the front of the show. But the people who get their names read really appreciate it. But I just really got started. My producers got me really motivated to do the Xbox X&C Club where we can hang out and game. And I did not realize this, guys. Like, I thought we would have fun, but I have had some of the most fun I've had in a long time, hitting up people like MacBound, Assassin, D-Crew Seeds, and I got Hargeet in there, some other friends, and Red Wolf, and we've been laughing, playing Fortnite, playing a bunch of others like Halo, but just, it's a great time. So there's a tier in there if you want to check it out. Like, I cannot believe how much fun we were having talking. We kind of do a mini podcast thing, you know, where we're talking about the, you know, you do the same thing, right, Mag? When you're in party yes. chat or in talking to your friends about gaming, like it always comes up and all of a sudden you're on soapbox and you're giving your speech. Yeah, it's been great.
You know, I get that a lot, especially, you know, it's going to start again in a couple of weeks or just about a month when Modern Warfare 2 comes in. And that's when I finally decide to come back online because I do a lot of solo gaming, right? Because I have a very social career, a lot of talking, a lot of whatever. At the end of the day, sometimes I turn everything off and I just want to play games by myself and whatever. But the multiplayer season is almost upon us. And then all of a sudden it turns into, Mag, what do you think about this? Mag, what do you think about that? Mag, what do you think about this? And I'm playing the game and all of a sudden it turns into a 4-hour podcast. Yeah, and by the end of it, I'm taking Bradisols because my throat's destroyed from all the talking. Randall Thor, I see you. By the way, Randall Thor has been trolling me for about a week now. He sends pictures, by the way. I just like to get this out there.
Oh, when yes, get it out down, there.
When I look down, sometimes I keep like a little page of notes and stuff. Like if I think of something like crazy, because my mind's like a 3-ring circus, right? So I write stuff down all the time that I can't always remember everything. So when I look down, it looks like my eyes are closed. So Ren,
oh, okay, on a show.
What are you talking about?
On a show. Hold on.
A closed eye when you look down. Okay.
It looks like my eyes are closed, right? So Rand, who clearly has nothing else to do with his life, sits there and waits for that moment, and he screenshots it, and he keeps sending it to me. So he just sent me one. He says, even on Colt Show, you're sleeping. And he puts, wow.
Come on.
So he does it all the time. He even went as far last week to send a super chat to call me out that I was sleeping live on the air. Yes, this guy is a monster. I just like, he just wrote, pictures are worth 1,000 words, bro. And I'm like,
Rand,
wow.
Rand is like the best Valentine's present. He's got a huge heart of gold. And inside, instead of like the chocolate deliciousness, he's got that black evil, like ready to pounce side.
It's
and people
tar.
have seen. Yeah, it's tar. He's got the like. and lately, the reason why I bring this up is lately Rand has been kind of feisty on social media and in his videos. His last video, he's pretty feisty about where PlayStation is doing, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But people are like hitting me up, like I love this side of Rand. Now, the reason why I say that is not just to make Rand feel great, but Mag and you and I and Gaz, like, we kind of get this, you're grown men and you're console warriors. Like, you know what? Like, what we do is fun. And I think it's great that your wife.
I said the F word there for a second. I was so erect.
What we do is fun. And I don't know. It's great because your wife is, she supports you. Like, if someone's going to say, what would your wife think of you? It's like, she's the one running the camera. You know, she's helping you with these bits. So we are having fun. Let's jump right into the first news piece, which I think we might get a good laugh at, but let's talk about physical DRM. Gaz, I want to go over this quickly. I want to go over this quickly because Xbox just kind of finally knocked out that one little hiccup that was keeping you from playing your physical games without being connected to the internet. It's so dumb. But on the same day, guys, there's also, I want you to talk about that one. Plus, there is this really heavy rumor that the PlayStation 5 is going to come with a little tag along, you know, USB wired or whatever disk drive for your PS5.
What I clearly have been missing.
Did you miss this?
I missed this completely. Also, it sounds like a topic when you got GTA 6 bit leaks. Can we talk about something real?
I'd want to have some fun with it just for a minute. Let me have Mag cover the disk drive thing, but you've done the hashtag Forever Physical. You fought with those people. Yeah. I mean, how many people are still buying discs on their console?
Hold on a second. I'm going to defend this for 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Only on the PlayStation side, and I'll tell you why. This, as soon as you mentioned, first of all, I didn't know anything about this either. I don't know whether, maybe Gaz and I were on the same like cruise ship together today. We didn't get any of this news, but I got to tell you. Well, so is this the idea that they're going to put like an add-on, kind of like the HD DVD that they used to have on the 360?
Yeah,
that thing?
Detachable is the word they're using, like, you know, Sony detachable face CD player.
Okay.
Like, you know, so it comes in a little case and you snap the thing on, you put it in your pocket.
Right.
You know, when you go into the gas station, that's going to be your PS5.
So it's going to be like a Sega 32X with like all the stacks. Anyways, okay. So it's going to be. Okay. You know, the thing is, if they price this thing at like $50 or something like that, that actually might be worth it. Let me tell you why. For PlayStation owners outside of the United States, the games are $104. Okay. Okay. Apparently, people get upset that I say $105 because I like a nice round number, like $105. Anyways, it's $103.75. Okay, in Canada, for it's $90 plus 15% tax for a PlayStation 5 game. However, I'm stuck because I use a digital PS5, right? And the thing is, the problem is that they barely go on sale. And so I'm looking at games. But I just checked the other day. I know that Returnal's on PlayStation Plus. But you know what? Right now, if you went to buy it in the store, it's still $103. The game's a year and a half old, right? And then you got the other games like Demon's Souls. And yeah, like Demon's Souls is still $103.75 and on and on and on. So the thing – oh, and Ratchet & Clank as well, by the way. Ratchet & Clank, which came out, what, 15 months ago, is still $104, right? So the thing is, I am at mercy. No, I'm at the mercy of the digital market. But – if I go to GameStop, I can buy Ratchet and Clank right now for $35 because they've got 11 of them sitting on the shelf. So the thing is, if this thing is priced right, I would actually consider buying it for my digital PS5 because, you know what? I put the initial investment down of, let's say, $50. Okay, I mean, you know, it's Sony. It's not going to be $50.
I think it's going to be $99 in the U.S., but go ahead.
I think so. Let's say $129.99 Canadian, right, if you do the conversion. At the end of the day, if I could buy games for $40 instead of $104, by the time I buy three games, I've made that money back. That initial investment has already been taken. It's already taken care of itself. This might be something that actually I might defend. I might defend this, Colt, because I'm tired of being at the mercy of it. And, you know, I was talking to Mooch. Shout out to Mooch and some other guys. They're like, wait for a sale. And I'm like, when,
right,
Mooch?
Yeah.
It's been 16 long months. I feel like I'm in the gulag in Russia. There's no end in sight. Like, the prison sentence is forever. I'm like, when's the sale coming, Mooch? You know what I mean? And so he's like, well, yeah, you got a good point. He goes, maybe you should just trade it in for a disc version. But now you're mentioning this. I'm like, I'm listening. So this might be an option. But Xbox, forget about it. Xbox, I've been digital for years and years and years. But interesting topic, though, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So is this fruition? Is this coming to fruition for sure? Is it just like...
Well, I mean, it comes from Tom Henderson, and it sounds like it's where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know. Maybe this is something they announce in a year. But I was talking to somebody that said that it would allow them to change to only sell the... That's so weird. I don't quite understand it, but they could just concentrate on only making the PS5 digital, which I think they lose their butts on. So,
yeah, well,
I don't know.
At the time that I got it, Colt, it was the only one I could get my hands on, right? Because I wanted one, I couldn't find one,
so.
Yeah, I think Rand and I were the only people I knew in the community that got one, because I know Rand got a digital one, and I got a digital one.
And Miles Dompierre.
Miles got one too? Okay.
Yeah,
oh, by the way, so I'm just noticing in the chat that the chat's saying the same thing. A couple of guys are saying the same thing. They're like, oh, yeah, I always go physical on the PS5, because you will get those deals down the road for those.
Yeah.
I hate to use the term.
Don't do
there
it.
There you go. There you go. Like, one. Like, I hate to use the term one and done, but I'm just saying.
One and done? Yeah, but then you can take it back to GameStop and get $14 for it. when you paid 35. Well, I mean, I could make the easy joke, but I mean, if you bought it for use for $35, they'll give you $7 or $14 for that game.
That's why exactly why my PlayStation games. Now, you know, we make fun of one and done. It's a reality. It is one and done. So it's all these people saying, "Oh, I buy it 7 times." Oh, what? Okay, fine. That's because you have no good games to play other than this one and done. No, but it's true. You play one and done. I bought Demon's Souls. I bought Spider-Man and Miles Morales, and I bought recently this and another game. I think Ghost was digital. No, physical. All of my PlayStation games that recently have been physical for that reason. I'll only play them and I'll sell them. It's not a bad thing, but.
What's that poll, Gaz? Jeez. Huh? That's their market, yeah.
Same with Nintendo. Look at Nintendo. How many people do you know buy off the Nintendo eShop? Very few that I know. A lot of people that have a Switch, they buy those stupid little, you know, those cartridges that are like the size of a Shreddy. You know, I don't understand how people can use those things. My kids have them, and I'm like, you're going to lose them. They're like the size of my teeth, like Schwarzenegger's front, like teeth, and they're the same size. Anyways, the thing is,
and they're $70 or whatever.
They're ridiculous. Yeah, they're ridiculous. But anyways, the thing is, yeah, they still work on a physical media basis. So, I mean, I know PlayStation does a lot more physical, but hey, you know what? In January,
well,
But I'm just saying, like, if you were to hang on in January. You could probably get God of War for $30 cheaper at GameStop because once the holidays are over, people have played it and done with it. They return it and it's sitting on the shelf for $20 off. That's an option if you don't want to wait. I'm getting it day one because that's what I do. So, you know.
Dang. Okay. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny. It was some stuff that both of those things broke today. You know, it's like, hey, Xbox fixed their DRM problem that affects very few people. And then, I mean, really, I could say that. I guess it sounds like an excuse. Like, if you're still using physical discs, you can get the update when you have your internet on. Whatever. I don't want to talk about it anymore, Gaz. Let me read a couple supers I think are probably going to go to Gaz anyway. Red Bull, thank you for the 2. It says, along with leaks, Red Dead 1 remaster was canceled. I think they basically said it was canceled. They weren't going to remake that game like a couple of months before these things. Driftwood with the hot dog. Thank you for the hot dog sticker. I appreciate it. It's a really good drawing of Gaz is what it really is.
Are you calling me a sausage in between two buns? And my game's a bit too.
Thrun TJ, thank you so much for the super. He says, heck yeah, Gaz, Colt, and Meg, it's going to be a great show. Microsoft should buy Bandai Namco, and then they can go do a deal with Sega to put all their games in Game Pass day one.
Oh, my God.
Play it unless it's on Game Pass.
Just get Activision and focus on your studios. We have enough studios. Just build the games. How about that, yeah? How about just getting one good game? Just one good game for these studios you purchased in 2018. One good Bethesda Xbox exclusive. Just focus on the quality. Stop begging for more studios. You spoiled after Activision. They just need to chill.
I'm just going to say, I want to say Xbox Game Studios, stop making games for PlayStation. Start making them for Xbox. Like, they should be on there, at least.
Yeah,
Ralph Wiggum with the member chat says, hit the like button, everyone. Have a great show. Yeah, do if you have a chance, hit the like button to show your support for the show. We are on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts on demand if you're listening to this in your earbuds while you drive to the store or while you mow your lawn. That's my favorite. I listened to Rand's last video while I was mowing the lawn. It was great. Talk and Shoot Gaming with the $20 super. Thank you so much, Talk and Shoot. He says, while watching your video the other day, I thought, couldn't Xbox just raise the price on Call of Duty on the PlayStation? And then maybe Sony would do the same with some of their exclusives on Xbox. Gaz, did you read this one?
What was that again?
Is he saying Sony should put their games on Xbox?
Well, if Jim Ryan is going to cry foul about the inequity of Call of Duty being not appearing on PlayStation after 5 years, despite $70 billion being paid for it, then release Spider-Man, release God of War Ragnarok on Xbox.
It's not
then
happening.
I'll talk to you. That's what Microsoft should say.
I've got a great quote from a big reputable gaming industry media website. I'm going to read here in a second. Brad Ward gives a Canadian $5 to give a code for PlayStation for Call of Duty. He says, this is episode 69. He goes, 69, nice. Call of Duty code, is PlayStation ever going to break out of the death loop of tripping over rakes? We're going to get into their messes here. Dave Outbreak Podcast, thank you so much for the $2. He says, fire panel, you got Mag, Colt, Gaz, deep in the sauce.
Shout out to Dave.
Yes, shout out. You did a show the other day.
You did. It went out today.
I've got a bunch here that I want to get through real quick before I get to this stuff. This first quote, it's great. Spider, thank you, Spider. Says, seriously, the GTA leaks look impressive. We're going to talk about that right after the first topic. Bifrinaldi, thank you for the super. He says, I have over 300 Xbox game. One of them is physical. I have no physical games except for a signed copy of Red Dead Redemption. Donataku. Yeah, John Marston signed it. Rob Riedhoff signed it.
Voice
2016 or something. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Wicked.
Yeah, it's very cool. He wrote like Outlaws of the End on like a Sharpie on the inside cover and on with a gold, one of those silver markers. Yeah, it's just really cool. I love that guy. So, Donataku, thank you for the super. He says, it's better to use cartridges on Switch because 9 times out of 10, you're not downloading the entire game. Just pop in and play like the old days. I want to say, Gaz, the last touch on that physical thing. A lot of the biggest games don't even fit on a 4K Blu-ray. On, you know, so like the people who are like hashtag forever physical, they still have to download the remainder of a big game, like a sports game or a big AAA game. Like, have you had that conversation with people when they're so pure, they're purists?
Double barrel game. I said, who are you? Not how are you? I was joking. Sorry. Hashtag forever physical. What? Who cares? Can we talk about some meaty stuff? I don't care about physical shoes.
All right, let's talk about.
I said hi to you, Rand. Sorry.
let's talk about this first. This is a quote from IGN. You ready? This was in their podcast yesterday. They said, "Does Xbox have an obligation to PlayStation gamers?"
No, it's BS. It has none. And what? Why does the market follow after? Hand it to the market leader's crocodile tears. Oh, we have a responsibility. Shouldn't it be the other way around? If you have the market leader, shouldn't you be like making sure that you're not employing predatory practices that deprive experiences from the masses? Isn't that the case? The market leader? No. So why is Xbox being charitable? I hope Phil Spencer just, you know, gets... Phil Spencer, yeah, is a nice guy, but I hope in the background
he just wants to
beat the crap out of Sony. James Allard, he said he wanted Ken Kutaragi's resignation on his desk, or Kaz, right? I think it was Ken Kutaragi, and he was such a nice guy. I want you, Phil Spencer, to have that rage, that anger, all this kumbaya. It's all nonsense. We know it now. We know it now. When push comes to shove, these guys will throw you like Heihachi threw Kazuya off that cliff in Tekken 1.
Oh,
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, seriously, I want some fighting words from Microsoft. I don't like this nice stuff. I like the corporate, let them fight. Let them throw some feces at each other. And we get to enjoy the theatrics, get to enjoy videos. More competition, and obviously make more videos.
Meg, what do you think? What's Xbox's obligation to protect and provide content for PlayStation?
Protect. That's the funniest word of the night. The thing is, you know, I want to piggyback off what Gaz said about being the market leader. And this is something that I actually talked about in my last video where I went on a huge rant about it not being adequate and everything else, right? The thing is, at the end of the day, when they have been the market leader for decades, right? At least when it comes to... the Sony Microsoft front, because you know in the other end of things, you know, you've got Nintendo selling 40 million first party games right off the bat, like mm-hmm. with their whatever that's what is that stupid game with it, Animal Crossing. Sorry, Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Sorry, the one where they don't talk, they make the stupid noises. that one. Yeah. That. Right. So they'll sell 40 million copies off the bat with that kind of stuff. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that as the market leader, what they've been doing is nothing but predatory practices. They have had clauses in their contracts where they intimidate their competition by not allowing the games to go on Game Pass. They have used this intimidation factor against media sites. This is something that I've been saying, by the way, for years. Some people thought I was nuts. Yes, I am nuts, but I'm not nuts about this. Because I said it before, I know people in the business, and they have said it. If you trash talk Sony, they will take away review codes. They will blacklist you. They will take away swag. They will take away giving you the new console when it's released. They do these things in order to continue to intimidate and stay on top. It's fine to stay on top. There is nothing wrong with that. But the means of which they are doing it has been nothing short of nefarious for decades. Now the fact that someone is actually giving them a clapback like WWE style, now they're acting shocked. Like, you know, Vince McMahon gets slapped in the face and he goes, oh, and he falls backwards. This is what they're doing now, an over-exaggerated reaction to somebody who's actually becoming a threat. Now, the thing is, the threat is, at the end of the day, is something I've always been saying. We will get into it, I'm sure, later. But the threat is not them purchasing ABK. The threat, and always will be, the point of entry, financial entry into the system, which is Game Pass. That is the number one thing.
Game Pass is the huge threat, right?
And we will talk about it later.
Yes. Game Pass is the huge threat. I like that speech. I like it a lot. Are you guys, Gaz is like, Gaz, you're begging for me to move into the big discussion, right?
He's angling you.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I didn't set this up properly with three people. So I'm going to leave that out of here. I'm so good at running the show. I recorded some Grand Theft Auto. Let's get
time to get
I recorded some. I got to pull it off the show. No, I recorded some Grand Theft Auto 5. Funny enough, before we get into this, I loaded up Grand Theft Auto Online because I have this Cold Eastwood character. It looks like me, dorky and everything, the glasses and the dumb hair and the beard and all that. And I was getting ready to run around and I couldn't move. I couldn't turn the camera. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go to the map. And I tried. So I turned off my controller, grabbed another one, resynced, started the game over, you know, shut it down, close it open, blah, blah, blah. Right now, Grand Theft Auto Online does not work for me. I don't know if anybody else has tried it, but you cannot play online right now. Gaz, start us off on what's going on with Grand Theft Auto and Rockstar.
What? Okay, that's a bit concerning what you just said there. Big, crazy. On a Sunday, we wake up to the news, or us in the UK, or late for you guys, who cares? Rockstar Studios. I wake up to DMs. I wake up to masses of notifications from multiple people. Like, look at this. I'm like, I knew immediately it was GTA 6. I knew immediately it was legit because I was actually working on a video. For a lot of people don't realize, there's a Reddit mega doc that has actually leaked everything anyway. But it's come to the point of the details mad. Multiple protagonists, female protagonists related to another protagonist, all of the things they talked about. Mm-hmm. So it's still there. I downloaded it. I want to make a video on it. But on the basis that it was more speculative, now that speculative stuff isn't gone. Now it's confirmed. And I saw this footage. So Rockstar, this is the biggest leak of its kind ever. Because a game this early to be leaked at this stage with its source code. So the source code has allegedly been leaked, which means absolute disaster for Rockstar. Absolute disaster for Grand Theft Auto 6 and for its fans like us. Because what that means, and a lot of people are asking, well, what does that mean? Well, what that can potentially lead to is them rewriting everything, because if you have source code access, you can have, you know, all kind of malware installed or backdoor entries or whatever, exploits, cheats, whatever. It's going to be an absolute nightmare, absolute worst case scenario for Rockstar. And if you have seen the footage, people, I don't know if all of you have. If you haven't, let us know in the chat.
Yeah, let me, before we really dive into that, I'll give like a forewarning for anybody in the chat. I mean raise your hand in the chat if you're worried about being spoiled about Grand Theft Auto 6, because I would like to give you, for those of you who have avoided seeing, or you maybe scrolled past a screenshot or like 2 seconds of footage and I watched all of it. There really isn't anything, I know Mags probably watch it, there really isn't anything that takes away any level of surprise anybody who knows what to expect. You don't see anything groundbreaking. You actually don't see anything amazing. You just see a lot of animation testing, some like virtual grid stuff that they do early on. Meg, where was this thing for you? It broke Saturday night for me when I was playing with the Xbox, the X&C Club. We were all playing, and during in between a match, I saw it on my phone, and I'm like, oh, I saw a screenshot, and I'm like, oh, and I went to bed at 12:30 or 1 in the morning, and when I woke up, that's when all the videos rolled in. So where were you on that one?
Right. Yeah, same thing. I'm on the Eastern Seaboard, right? So it it happened around 3 in the morning for me. And so obviously I missed it, but I woke up super early for it because I wake up early for work anyway. So I just happened to be up and my phone was going berserk. And yeah, and I'm lying in the bed and of course I'm cursing nonstop and I'm going, oh my God, what the F, what is going on? And my wife was, just rolls over and she goes, will you stop it? And I'm like, honey, this is important. So I left.
That's not the first time she said that.
Oh, wow, that's for sure. Yeah, so I left the room, and then I went to go check out what's going on. At first, I thought it was fake. I said, there's no way. It looked way too alpha. But then again, I'm like, wait a minute. This is not coming out for at least another 2-3 years, so it probably is alpha. Then yeah. I started noticing all the little things, the little details. Once again, just to back up what Colt said, chat, and anybody listening later, there's nothing spoilerific about this footage.
Well said,
it does confirm a female protagonist. A lot of people. Well, they
yeah, but I mean,
that.
I think everybody
usually
already assumed that, right, guys?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it was that was already said. Either a brother and sister or a cousin.
I should shoehorn in there before you finish, Mag. That whatever you saw looked like an early version of GTA 5. Like, of course, yes. It's not even meant to look, you know, out of this world, right? So go ahead.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, it basically shows somebody robbing a McDonald's, you know, like right. Doing one of the, what is it, the star system, like, you know, with the cops coming and all that. That's
a burger shot or something.
Yeah, and then the burger shot. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. And then the only other thing that I watched a couple other little things, and the only other thing is it was just showing somebody testing the switching between characters, which we've already seen in GTA 5. You know, like
there was a great weird, like, there was a great part where there was a male character that was going up against like a jersey barrier, like, you know, like a cover wall, and he had an assault rifle like this, and he kept doing this, and his arm would go. I don't know if you can see this on camera, and then you go, and it did this for like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and you could tell like whatever, whoever's recording was like, why does he keep doing that? How do you stop this from happening? But you know, his arm was like totally dislocated, like when you fell off your roof. Your balcony.
Yeah, exactly. Me jumping off my balcony. It looked like a bug test It looked like a stress test. That's something that I deal with Ubisoft myself. Like, you know, they'll give you like a scenario and they'll make you play the same scenario for 8 straight hours. Trust me, folks, it's a lot of fun. It's not as glamorous as you think. You know, they'll make you stress test the same thing over and over and over, right? To see how the character reacts or the physics or whatever, right? So, and then, of course, they're standing right there taking notes of all your stuff. That's kind of what this basically was. Because, I mean, like, even the character changing thing, they just switch back and forth from the character like, I don't know, like 11 times, and it made that weird suction noise, and then all of a sudden it changed to the other character, and then back to the other character, and then back, and then you see, like, you know, code coming down the side of the screen, because that they're just programming stuff. So, like, it wasn't anything, like, monumental. It wasn't anything crazy. It's in my personal opinion, it's not going to... Now, I understand what Gaz was talking about, okay? Like, when it comes to the security of the game, and, of course, the code and everything else, like, that access to... That I understand entirely. But from a superficial point of view, I don't think that this is going to do anything monumental. It's going to go away over time. I don't think there'll be any more leaks after that because you know what? They're going to be on their guard. They'll be on their guard. That's for sure. Now the thing is, I don't think it did anything. I don't think it damaged the brand or anything like that because when they show the final product, everybody's going to forget all about it.
I thought it looked good. I thought.
No.
I
know.
It surprised. I thought for a game that is supposed to be 3-4 years away, it even had some voice lines recorded. The scene at the strip club, the lighting, and some of the character models were good. Special Nick didn't think it was good because he had a take on it.
Yes!
Saying, oh, this looks bad. This is why I don't like GTA. Then you're sitting there and Rand called him out on your playing Goldeneye and you're like, no, listen, GTA, look, you have to look technically. There was still a lot that it was looking impressive. This got me more hyped. Not only for the female protagonist who's got a little bit of junk in the trend, but it was just generally.
Hey, you know what? Can I say something about the female protagonist? I said something, by the way, on Twitter yesterday about the female protagonist because I noticed there's a small sect of people complaining about a female protagonist. That's it. GTA's gone woke. you know, rock star, North Woke now, blah, blah, blah. And so I wrote something about it, and I said, you know, I don't understand why people are getting so upset about this whole situation. I said, you know, did you not play Resident Evil? Did you not play Tomb Raider? Did you not play the Horizon Forbidden West Zero Dawn? Did you not play Last of Us 1 and 2?
Oh,
did you
my
not
gosh.
Play any of the... Right? So I'm like, if you didn't play any of those games, then please be the one for to cast the first stone, so to speak, right? And apparently that really took off because 112,000 people came across that my tweet about that. So obviously this was one heck of a big topic. I mean, that to me so far has been the only real, you know, like sort of fiery point that I've noticed that's really driven a wedge between the community. Because a lot of people have actually said some pretty nasty things about me saying, well, I don't want to play as a woman and blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm never going to buy this. And I'm like, okay, dude, like, relax. Like, geez, like, it's not the end of the world. I think it's great. I have no problem with it. And I've never had a problem with it. We've been playing as female protagonists since the 80s. So, like, what's the problem here, right? So, anyway, so far... my observation has shown, especially with my own personal Twitter and everything else, is that it seems to be that the female protagonist seems to be an issue. And I think that's ridiculous to be, you know, I think that anyway, getting off that topic.
It's more than that, though. You saw the incels start to lose their minds over it. But then they suddenly became quiet because they could see the bra through the shirt. We got attention to detail there. And also... the posterior, and then they liked it. It seems like the incels will only like female protagonists if they've got nice proportions in their opinion.
That is a fact, isn't it? That is such a fact.
But at the same time, I understand.
I think it's such a small amount of people, too.
It is small. The problem with Rockstar is that they're not going to punch down on communities. That kind of more of that woke mantra. People are saying it might take away the spirit of Rockstar's games that have never held back. So whether or not I'm not that worried, but well, it'd be interesting to see. Ultimately, Rockstar are immensely talented. This thing actually proved to me that I'm more. Jeff Grubb did a poll on it. And he asked, I know it's not scientific, but he asked, did these leaks make you more or less excited for GTA 6? I smashed the yes, more excited without hesitation. Vast majority, let me just find it, said, yes, it does. So you tell me, Jen, are you more excited, both of you gents? And chat, if you can do a poll, perhaps, are you excited?
Yeah.
So I have a lot of insight. If I may say, outside of the gaming community, I have a lot of people in Hollywood, particularly with Warner Brothers specifically. So I get a lot of Hollywood news, see a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. In fact, actually, Colt, if I don't know, Gaz, I don't know if you're crossing the pond for E3, but when I'm at E3, you are? Well, I'm going to. I'm renting a house. We'll talk about it later. Anyways, the thing is, yeah, it's going to be a whole thing. I've been invited to Warner Brothers Studios for a private tour behind the scenes outside of E3. So I will be doing that when I go. I'm going to take 2 days to go over to Hollywood. Anyways, the point is, when I do see quite a bit behind the scenes, it doesn't affect the way I look at the final product. Like, for example, I saw shots of like the Robert Pattinson Batman 2 years before they even showed a first trailer. And that doesn't affect... the way I look at the trailer, for example, right? So I'm like, okay, well, they're filming something. That's cool. There's Robert Pattinson with like jeans and a green screen t-shirt on, right? So it's like, he looks ridiculous, right? But that won't affect the way I look at the final product. So that when I see 2 years later, a year and a half later, whatever it is, and I see the trailer for the Batman, that stuff leaves my mind and I look at the product that's in front of me because now I'm looking at a finished piece of art. Right, I'm not looking at like the first strokes of a painting before I look at the Mona Lisa. I'm looking at the Mona Lisa. So when it comes to the Grand Theft Auto situation, I looked at it and I'm like, all right. And I'm just going to forget about it, store it in my memory, forget about it. We got more important things to worry about. All right, we got this ABK deal coming up. We got great games coming up in the next 6 to 12 months from both sides of the fence. Okay, so we have all these great things. Don't worry about Grand Theft Auto. When they're ready to show it, you know that they're going to blow our socks off. By the way, shout out to Special Nick, who wouldn't back down after Gaz smack-talked him a little bit. The first thing he says, I won't repeat everything he says, but he says, Special Nick says, Rockstar Games play like S. So we all know what that means.
And then he said, who gets excited for Rockstar Games? And I said, millions. Everyone. And then he jokes back, millions of bad taste. Nick is having a good time with it.
He's having a great time.
He's having a good time with it.
That's the way I see it. I don't look at this like it's not going to change my opinion in the end, right? Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, I'm going to wait till I see the actual trailer. When they release a trailer, a teaser trailer, you know how Rockstar does. When they do that, then I'll get excited. But until then, I'm just going to leave it and just say, okay, I saw them working on it. Cool.
It was a surprise we weren't expecting. And I want to get into the repercussions of what that leak did, what the possibilities are, what's going to happen. And someone's going to go to prison and get, you know, they're going to have a good time. They're going to get shanked. No, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let me grab a couple of supers here. Assassin. Ow! Yeah, like that. They're in prison. Ow! Dang it! That hurt!
That hurt!
Dude, yeah, that's going to be me. Yeah, it's totally going to be me if I ever go to prison someday. Ow! Stop it!
You'd make a beautiful wife in prison.
Oh. Yeah, I just hope I have a good bunkmate. But we'll move on. We got Assassin who says, wow. Since YouTubers are pretending to be insiders by breaking NDAs, he says, Assassin says, Gaz, when are you going to reveal yourself as the snitch? There was some insider that... A guy on Twitter called The Real Insider, and a new website and social media presence called The Insider of Gaming launched on social media, and this guy accidentally runs the channel, accidentally revealed who he is on Twitter by his first and last name, and he nuked his stuff, and all in the middle of these Grand Theft Auto leaks. He had nothing to do with that, but he leaked that that we were going to see... something we're going to see Ragnarok at the State of Play thing. So yeah, Gaz is not the snitch. Drawn TJ, thank you so much. This Gaz, you got me dying laughing. I love Gaz. He's freaking hilarious. Mr. Potter, thank you for the super. He says, I also hear Xbox is a patent for the Series S, and he must be referring to a detachable face CD player, KF1104 model or something like that. But that's a real model, by the way. D-Crew or Detective Seeds, thank you so much for the $50 super chat. He was in the party with us the other night. 50 and we were having a good time. Shout out to you, bro. I hope you're doing well. But we will talk, we will play, and I got to check out his content. He's putting up some Modern Warfare 2 stuff. He says, have a great week, my dudes. And Spider with an NOK 50 says, Sony strategy of paying for Xbox games getting less content for the same price is off-putting. Hogwarts, Call of Duty, Destiny are examples. Thank you for that super. We might come back to that a little bit later, but there's some really funky statements from PlayStation while they just talk out of the side of their mouth on that. I want to get that in a little bit. Haryeet Chani dropped some codes. He for Japanese games, Judgment and Lost Judgment in the US. He says Judgment
Xbox
twice.
Players don't play Japanese games. What a waste of money. Send.
You know why, guys? Because they don't get any on the platform. No.
They're getting a lot more now.
Yeah, they
see
are.
You support it, people, yeah? Because
there's the
I
proof
don't
of the pudding.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Let's see the numbers. That's all I'm going to say. Xbox guys are going to buy this. Yeah.
It's a new decade. Like they weren't even in the sphere. And now you're going to see. I know when I talked about, I shared that Sarah Bond said, we've got these partnerships with Bandai Namco from Software. And they named all these big heavy hitters in the Asian market for gaming studios. And I said, this is the future of Xbox. And they go, where are they? There's no games in 2022. You didn't get all those other games before. I'm like, what part of this is the future of Xbox you're not getting with your hooves?
The future means the past and present, apparently.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Udonny, thank you so much for the member chat. He says, I just want to say that whether it's X&C, RDX, DBG, Double Bear Gaming, or Xbox International, both flavors, this community is the absolute best. Salute! He says, and you notice who he didn't mention there, Gaz? He didn't mention Xbox 2 or Xbox Era. And they're some of my favorites, but all right, we'll move forward. Gaz, let me start with you. Rand's so awesome. Rand and I have been playing a little game in preview in review period together, so that's been pretty fun. Gaz, let me ask you about the repercussions, like what could happen, because Rockstar put out a statement today about 5 hours ago saying everything's cool, we're gonna still work, nothing's being held back, nothing's being delayed, we're fine, everybody's okay. You know, like Han Solo does, Mag, when he goes in there and grabs, you know, knocks out the stormtroopers, we're fine, everything's okay over here.
How are you?
Then he goes and shoots the thing. Gaz, let's talk about what could have happened or what you think is going to happen. I don't think it's all sunshine and rainbows. Take the mic, bro.
Well, you said this is good news, and they were like, "Wait, what do you mean?" This is like, "What do you mean it's good news?" Oh, you mean because they will still. We want to thank everyone for the ongoing support. We'll continue as planned. We'll remain as committed as ever to delivering the experience to you, our players, that truly exceeds your expectations. So Rockstar is one of the few studios in the world I actually believe, unlike Special Nick, who has taste, that they will exceed the expectations. What that means is not much other than they acknowledge the problem that exists, because a lot of people still doubted it. So obviously, officially acknowledged, they've been hacked. Hacked, by the way. Rand was right earlier when he mentioned that. Not leaked. Hacked. They're going to have to put this. There was nothing else they could have possibly pushed, in my opinion. It's like, they have to do that. They have to massage or the shareholders. They need to be reassured. Otherwise, you know, if they didn't do this, it would be shocking. Unless they came out and said, look, this is really bad. We don't know what to do here. This is severely going to stall the delay of GTA 5. If they said that, that would be crazy that they said that.
They put up one of those really nice like screenshots with the right thing. It just says, we're doomed. Tell people what happened when you say hack, because you could reset for the audience. I don't know if people who are listening to this on demand or here have joined the show have kind of like heard about the leaks, knew the game got shown, and because I did get a lot of people, guys, that said, what's the big deal? Like, so the game leaked, people are still excited, why could this be bad? And I said, well, we're going to talk about it tonight. So guys, I want you to set up that kind of the doomsday scenario or the possibility doom scenario, because I think it's still kind of there. What do you think?
It's the scenario is real. Can you imagine if you're in cybersecurity, and I mean reading up on some takes on what the damage this could entail, and it's common sense anyway. What they need to do now, so any development on the game is probably going to be halted, as a cybersecurity sweep is happening entirely through their servers, to their physical premises, through everything, to find and plug any kind of, not say leak or exposure or any exposures here. Unless they can blatantly identify where that has happened, they're going to have to wholesale strip out everything. So I will be, they're not, unless there's some lone developer out there, good old Jimmy is designing the basketball physics or something really minute, everything's going to stop. Everything's going to stop. They're going to have to do a sweep. Don't know how long it's going to take. The FBI and authorities they need to work with to try and identify. This is that serious a breach. We're talking billions at stake. And I'm saying billions because that's what Rockstar's GTA games net. So they're going to be... It's a horrible scenario. When... I think the delay, by the way, to GTA 6, it could be measured in at least half a year to months, but possibly years. Over a year or years. If anyone's talented, it's Rockstar. How they're going to reconcile this massive disruption with their recent statement to not push staff and have this new mantra of start, you know, makers. They've had a really terrible history of staff, management and crunch. So
but Star Tickler says kind of password was password at Rockstar. It was hot boobs or something like that. Yeah. What was that? Big Boy 37 or something. That was on a commercial back like 20 years ago. Meg, do you know much about this source code thing? I would let Gaz kind of explain it, but he kind of was instructing and explaining to me about this stolen source code or this extorted source code. Did you follow all that news?
Yeah, I did follow that news. Now, I'm not a tech guy, so I don't know the specifics behind it. However, I do understand the security behind it. And I do understand that there are ramifications. I know I make jokes and everything else, but there are serious ramifications to this, like Gaz was saying. Now, the thing is that they are going to have to take a complete pause. And they're going to have to investigate every last employee there. Okay, this has happened before in Hollywood several times. This happened at Disney several times. This happened at Warner Brothers several times. And what ends up happening is they halt production. They have to do a check on everyone, go background check. They have to scrub every single computer, if you can believe it. Because don't forget, we are coming out of a pandemic still. I know people are like, it's over. Well, you know what? A lot of people still working remotely. A lot of that has caused a lot more problems than people realize.
They're going to have to scrub employees' personal computers. Because if Gaz worked there, he'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Just threw me under the bus there. Yeah. It'd be your DMs that would get me in trouble. All those
news. It's true, though. They're going to have to do this. So therefore, what they're going to do is they're going to do what I would like to call a soft reboot of the situation. So what it is, that the game is not going to change. The story's not going to change. Maybe the story will change a little bit here and there, but that's going to happen organically over time. What I think is going to happen here is that this is going to cause or create a soft reboot of the situation. They're going to go through, they're going to scrub everyone's computer, they're going to go through everyone's background, find out exactly what happened, where it happened, who it happened to. They have to bring in, just like Gaz was saying, the authorities, because not only is this is a breach of trust, this is also grand larceny. You're talking about billions
of dollars.
It's
Grand Theft
Auto. It literally is Grand Theft
Auto. If the studio was a car, it's serendipitous. What is it?
Grand larceny over 5,000. That's this criminal offense. This is a criminal offense to prison. Right? So these are all the things that are going to have to happen. Now, what I think, exactly. Here comes the sharpened toothbrush again. So anyway, what's going to happen is they're going to stop production for a little while. They're going to reboot it. Not like reboot it, like start over. Like I said, a soft reboot. They're going to start again and then build upon a new foundation. That's what's going to happen here. Because there's something wrong with what was shown. It has nothing to do with that. It's
absolutely
going to have to do with the trust of the staff now. Right? And then that's where they're going to have to start all over again. And of course, there is a problem. I don't even know what they're going to do about the source code situation.
All right,
I don't even know if it's gone beyond that guy they showed.
Let me take the other angle, according to what was reported or what some people might believe. But there is a report that a UK teenager at 16 years old was responsible for hacking in. He's also hacked into Ubisoft and Microsoft and some other big name companies and hacked in their servers and tried to extort them, or have successfully extorted them, according to this. So you're talking about, what if one of these employees let something loose? Maybe they let their security get somewhere else, a password or keystroke or whatever. But the other possibility, Gaz, is that some hacker, like straight out of Watch Dogs Legions, with a nail gun, hacked into the Rockstar servers and's like, I got everything. Hold on to your butts, right? Gaz, what have you fallen there? He's a G.
If he's 16, he's lucky. He's going to get a job. That's what happened. So someone that talented can go ahead and do that, they'll get a job. If they're a little bit older or weirder, they won't. Ultimately, hackers are a hot commodity in cybersecurity. Anyway, these firms will employ them. The utility of them of working with government or these organizations much more. But generally, it's just going to send warning bells across the industry. We had Naughty Dog's, what's his name, come out on Twitter and said, Neil Druckmann. He said, look, when obviously he knows all too well when this happens. And let me try and pull this thing in. But he basically was saying, look, it'll be something in the past, you'll work over it, and only 10 million. 10 million people will buy your game. No, you're saying to my fellow devs out there affected by the latest leak. No, that whilst it feels overwhelming right now, it'll pass. One day we'll be playing your game, appreciating your craft, and the leaks will be relegated to a footnote on Wikipedia page.
Sure.
Which is ironic, because The Last of Us 2 actually suffered madly. It's to the point where I've only just bought this now because the story was so badly.
That's
just
a totally
leaked.
Different damage control situation where of Us 2.
It's funny that it's coming from him. It's just like, well, actually did damage your product tremendously.
What was
tremendously
my poll? It was like,
you had disabled comments. You couldn't even like disable likes, to the point where you're probably the reason why YouTube disabled all of that visibility anyway, because corporations like you were begging YouTube to please safeguard our position. But generally here, I'm not having shots at Neil Druckmann here, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to speak facts here.
I mean, it's a different situation. The poll we did shows that 80% are more excited from seeing really bad looking leaks. And of course, Last of Us had leaks that blew the story where people didn't want it to go. And anyway. But
I mean,
I got to ask you, Gaz, because you danced around it. I got to ask you, do you think it was a hacker? Like, do you think that it was a hacker, like, or are you on Mag side where it was like a security? I don't know.
I mean, snafu. I don't have command of facts of the whole situation, but what the wording said is we recently suffered a network intrusion. That means hack, in which an unauthorized third party illegally accessed and downloaded confidential information. I mean, that's definition of hacking, unless you have a very specific definition of what hacking.
That's right.
Network intrusion from a third party compromising systems and their network is a hack. So it's definitely a hack.
You're in the UK. Can you look out your window and see this guy or what?
Bro, if this kid is 16, then it's kind of scary. Like, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, remember that movie Hackers with Angelina Jolie, where there's a scene where she shows her breasts? But it's a good movie. It's a good movie. And can we have a slight tangent? Why are the hacking scenes in movies, they have these crazy wireframe 3D grids and stuff? I'm like, that's not... I guess you have to romanticize it. Shut up, Jez. What does he say? Can I get an uwu? I never understood what an uwu was. Hi, Jez.
Hi, Jez. oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't know. I did see a video about hacking in movies and video games, and like, it's nothing like that. You know, it's all changing code and using keystrokes and getting people's history and personal, like, oh, you know, he named it after his dog. His password is, you know, Loki47 or whatever. But that's kind of how these things happen. So I guess where I'm sitting is it must be a hacker that got in because of, like Mag said, an employee that either allowed it or did something they weren't supposed to, or a mix of whatever. But let me read a couple supers here.
Crazy. Rockstar hired private investigators to find modders who legally modding or illegally. They hired private investigators to find them. The extent to which, if they haven't already identified who it actually is, if it's not the 16-year-old that chat's talking about, they are going to go raw. No jurisdiction is safe unless you're North Korean or perhaps Russian. Then you might have some kind of degree of protection because Russian hackers. I watched a documentary from Vice. This weird psychopath Russian guy, just complete introvert. He was so weird, but he was so smart, so intelligent. So if they're there in Russia, Russia's going to be like, screw you guys. Where are you? All the sanctions? Here's revenge. GTA 6 is ours. By the way, one thing we haven't talked about, GTA 5 source code has been sold to somebody. Bought for $100K, which is the reason why you probably perhaps can't go online on GTA Online. GTA 5 source code out in the open. Who bought that for $100K? Chump change for a small dev outfit or Chinese outfit. I know it's just a bit presumptuous, but you know, if you're in China and you want to, why wouldn't you do that? Look, I'm not advocating for crime, but if you've got the money and you want in this space, $100K is nothing. So,
nothing. Look at Diablo 4 leaked today as well. 45 minutes of gameplay leaked of Diablo 4 today as well. The thing is, we live in an age, and I hate to sound like an old man, but it's true. We live in an age where anybody with a laptop can have access to just about everything. The dark web is a thing that exists. It doesn't take much to get in there. And then you get all those back doors, very much like the Matrix, you know, the hallway with all the back doors. Once you have access to that, you have access to just about anything. Yeah, the key maker. I'm the key maker. You know, the thing is, they've got all access to these things. But you know what I mean? That is a reality. And the reality is, it's no longer people that are in a workplace that have access to this stuff. Anybody has access. There are 5 billion cell phones in the world. High-powered, most of them, right? There are options everywhere. And that's the problem with a situation like this. Because now, how do you stop the bleeding when you don't know where it's coming from? And that's the thing that makes it so dangerous. And that's why, for example, when I do my work with Ubisoft, outside of my actual career, when I do work with them, the threats they send are very real. As to, look it. If anything happens to what you're doing, you know, and then they give you a whole list of the things that are going to happen to you, You know, it's very much like we're gonna dunk you in the swamp with leeches all over you like Rambo. Anything short of that, that is a reality. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In all seriousness, like, the reality is jail time. You know, being arrested, all this kind of stuff, being blacklisted forever, all these,
or
things.
Being tied to the mattress spring and being electrocuted.
That's right, and then being like electrocuted. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm coming for you.
So that's the thing with these. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Can we give a shout out to Sylvester Stallone?
I know it. While we're here,
in a way actually, that he would understand.
Yeah, he understands. He's a very intelligent person. He just sounds like that for his roles. Anyways, the thing is,
he is actually. That's funny. He's not funny. He's smart.
He's supposed to be like really like Mensa or something. Someone was telling me he's really hyper intelligent. He's so smart. He's created a language so advanced, very few humans can understand.
Yeah, but he has cerebral palsy.
No. This isn't the Sylvester Stallone show. His face is down on one side because of the forceps when he was being born. The doctor got the barbecue tongs, like, and popped him out of there.
Yeah,
and
so something happened to his face.
He's amazing.
Yeah, like the muscles.
Do you guys, if you want, we can do a show tomorrow night just on Stallone. I would love to do it. It'd be great. Let me read a couple supers here. Percolator 9000, thank you so much. Says Colton Gas, how dare you get Pony Hornhead on your show? That does not sound right when I say it out loud. He says, just kidding. Hello, Mag. Great show, guys. Hit the like button if you're having fun. I've got Mag down here. He's like right down here, Hollywood Square style. I got Gaz over here, I think, if I do that right. And I'm so glad to have both you guys here. So thank you so much. Infinite Umbra, how you doing, buddy? I don't know if you're still in the chat, but he says, evening, brothers, Colt, Gaz, and Mag. Did you guys see that they've now exposed who the insider guy is, the leaks, who he really was? And Rand sent me a link to his supposed new Twitter account where he made an apology and said, I screwed up, I'll do better. There's Umbra. He's still in the chat. Hi, buddy. He gets mad if I don't say hi, so now I'm going to say hi to him every 3 minutes.
He's been trying to get your attention for about 30 minutes.
We were talking last night, or the night before, and he was like, "He's like, Colt, you never say hi to me in the chat." And so while we were in the Xbox party chat, like on a podcast, I just kept saying hi to him over and over. But yeah, I can't remember what I was saying.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. We're talking about Sylvester Stallone. Now, Umbra says, that the insider said who he was. I'm going to look into this more because this kind of broke while the show was starting. Hargit Chani, it's good to talk to you, bro. Thank you for the super. He says, a big headache, so make sure their data source doesn't have any malware. Should be okay after that. It will take weeks to months to fix it. Now, when Hargit says that, he knows, because I'll just say this much. Hargit is a very important person in an IT department for a big company. He knows what he's talking about. And
Xbox games and first party.
He does have an interesting order of games he plays. Splendiferous, thank you for the super. No, he says, big up XC boom. What is this? Big up XC bookum. Big up Gaz, Cat, Colt, and Maggie Mag. Yeah, thank you
Maggie
so much.
Maggie Mag.
When I tried to write your name, it autocorrected to Maggie. I'm like, hi, Maggie.
Well,
Jez, somebody already read, I think Gaz read Jez is super. Thank you, Jez. You're probably asleep by now. He says, can I get a how do you say it? Ooh? I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out what that is.
I'm a Gen Xer.
I thought it was a face.
It's a cute face, but I'm just barely using regular vanilla.
I think anime. Speaking of anime, you have to watch Cyberpunk Edgerunners, everyone. Watch Cyberpunk. I don't care if you don't like anime. Watch Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
You just described
the game. Have to watch it. And it will get you hyped for the game. Because I'm hyped for the game. I'm hyped for Cyberpunk Edgerunners because of the anime. So good.
Already played it.
And it's not like a typical, let's get the chance about the year. It's different, bro. It's like violent. It's sexy. It's different. It's high stakes. It's emotional. I had tears in my eyes at the end.
I'm glad you like it. What's up, Umbra? How you doing today? Thanks for being here on the show. I appreciate it. Hargit also adds, you can't go online on Grand Theft Auto because Take-Two would have taken their systems down as a precaution. Well, I can be online. Like when I came into the game, I was sitting on a motorcycle and I couldn't use any of the controls. Nothing. So normally you'd think, of say like network error, you know, we can't connect right now, but I'm in the game sitting there with the motorcycle island, run, you know, wasting gas and increasing my carbon footprint. But thank you. One more ice cold cabbage. Thank you for the 179-pound chat. Says Diablo 4 just leaked 40 minutes of video, which Mag said, he says, no joke. So Mag, did you see this? I didn't even look at the Diablo footage.
No, I didn't watch it. The game is coming out soon enough that I was just like, you know what, I can wait. And I already got enough fill of my Grand Theft Auto like pre-alpha footage, so I'm fine with not seeing whatever they release there. We already watched, actually. I mean, wasn't it not even a year ago? We saw a good chunk of gameplay anyway. Didn't they do like a section of like a vertical slice of like one of the dungeons?
Yeah, there's like at least 3 minutes of different character combined gameplay.
Plenty. That's good enough for me. Like, I don't need in-depth things. I don't need 16 episodes of developer diaries before a game comes out. I don't need any of that stuff. And like I said, the Grand Theft Auto one piqued my interest because we know literally nothing about it, right? So that's the reason. Like, it was like Forbidden Fruit. I had to watch that. But, like, Diablo 4, I've already seen stuff about it. I already know it's coming. It's already coming soon. Probably coming to Game Pass, God willing, if the ABK deal goes through, whatever. Mm-hmm. No. So therefore, I have no interest in seeing it because we are going to get our hands on it very soon. So, yeah, that's the only thing. Like I said, the other one was Forbidden Fruit. That had to be watched.
Gaz is watching it right now. I'll bet you anything. Are you watching that Diablo leak footage?
Nope.
I'm surprised it's still up.
I mean, he's super excited.
I mean, Diablo's not... Yes, it's very different. I mean, story-wise, I played Diablo Immortal for the first time. I enjoyed it. It's more about the gameplay. The story, unless... You're one of those in those Warhammer shops and likes to paint little things. And a lot of people like the story in Diablo games. I'm not really that big. I assume the leak was more about the gameplay. And, you know, Diablo is a game you can't really, in my opinion, spoil as much because it's just the playing. The gameplay is the key. It's a key thing in every game. But Diablo, you know what I'm trying to say. That's just, you enjoy it. You just enjoy playing.
The gameplay is the story as opposed to...
Yeah, gameplay
like,
is the story.
The cutscenes.
It has a story, but yeah, the gameplay. It's second fiddle.
Do you guys do this? And I'll ask the audience, the chat as well. Like, I do this almost all the time. We get a lot of gameplay footage and I'll watch like 1 or 2 minutes and I'll go, all right, I'm done. I've seen enough.
Yeah, because you get the gist of it.
Yeah, and I don't do it because I don't want to be spoiled, but I just watch a minute and I'm like... Okay, I know what it looks like, and I've played it enough. Like, do you do this, Mag, where if you watch the footage, you can feel what it would be like if you had the controls, right? So, and I always end up backing out because I'm not a Twitch viewer. I don't watch people play games. I don't know if it's because it's not because I'm old, because I've been like this for like 10 or 15 years, and I'm 92 years old. But I watch gameplay for a certain amount of time, and I start to go...
Yeah,
I don't know about what it is. I just get drowsy.
The thing is, once I get the gist of what the game is and how it plays, I'm like, all right, I get it, and I walk away. You know, it's like there was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David walks into his friend's house and they're like, hey, you want a tour? He looks around and goes, yeah, I get it. It's a house. And that's it. And then they all got mad at him. But it's the same idea. Like, for me, it's the same idea. Like, I'll see a minute or two of gameplay. Because that's why I like those gameplay trailers, you know, the ones that are interwoven with like a little bit of the cinematics and then it shows a little bit of the gameplay. Like the, what the hell is that game called that's coming out from Square Enix? Forspoken on the PlayStation, right? Mm-hmm. They just had a gameplay trailer release about a month ago or whatever. That's all I need. I watch the trailer. I get a little bit of the story. I get a little bit of what's going to happen, like what I'm going to be doing. And that's it. I don't need anything else. Like I said, I don't need the 16 webisode developer diary of why she jumps like this or whatever, right? And then why she throws a spear like this. I don't care. Like, I know what the game's going to be like. I know how it's going to play. I'm like, all right, I get it. When I get excited is when it's in my hands. Because this is a very interactive, you know, hobby, right? This is not like watching a movie where you sit on your, you know, you sit down, you kick your feet up, you shove popcorn in your face, and then you're watching the movie. There's no interaction with what's going on, right? You're just witnessing what's going on. But this is a very practical hobby, right? It's in your hands. So watching somebody else do it or watching like a, you know, an extended period of time is a waste of time to me because it's not the same. You know what I mean? Because like you will need that in your hands with a control in your hands and you're controlling the narrative. Right. So that's why I find it so important to like just like, yeah, like I said, I'll watch a minute or two and then I'm done. And then I'll wait till the game releases.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, I didn't watch any of the Modern Warfare 2, what's it called? The Modern Warfare 2 betas that have been going on right now. Everybody and their uncles have been posting videos or whatever about, you know, the beta and all that stuff. It's Call of Duty. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to run around. I'm going to shoot people. I'm going to die a lot, and that's it. It's going to be really great.
I think this is the most divergent, fundamental shift in Call of Duty in a very, very long time. I think,
really?
As someone who played COD a lot, played Modern Warfare 2019 a fair bit, but you know, this one is the first time Call of Duty is trying to do
shake it up
elements of Rainbow Six in it. No, it's a lot more tactical. I don't know if I like it or not, because I like running and gunning. I've been playing it all day today, which is why I didn't do my Source video, because I had no sleep, because I keep doing everyone's podcast and I don't get much sleep. But it was just the running gun. It's they're going for a mix between COD and the Rainbow Six kind of angle. People who have played the beta will understand. Solid, it feels the gun, the weighty there. It's very different, yet very familiar at the same time. Bits I don't like, well, I can talk about it.
But, and you've been playing hours of the last, Modern Warfare, the 2019 one, online. You've been playing with people. You've been playing with PlayStation guys and Xbox guys or just randoms, so you know the feel difference, like, immediately.
No. I mean, I've been playing COD for a while, man. But 2019, what about
the,
I played a bit.
What about the narrative? A bunch of PlayStation guys are proclaiming right now on social media that they are getting a refund because it's already got the Microsoft stank on.
That's right. I was just about to say it.
Say it, Meg.
Go ahead, guys.
I mean, really, I will say this. Look, obviously, says like, the Microsoft stank is on there. It's already rubbish. I'm like, Microsoft has nothing to do with it yet. The deal hasn't gone through. It has not touched the game that's already been developed and it's coming out in a few weeks, you idiot. But some of the people are like, obviously, doing that for a reason. I will say, I know some PlayStation guys, like Strictly Gaming, or me and him had beef before we reconciled. Now he's a great guy, but his concerns, I understand completely, because there are fundamental concerns. If you are a true COD enthusiast who loves already what you liked in COD, this challenges that. It really does. There may be more promotion of camping, more focus on very prominent, loud footsteps. What's that happening? Recoil is ridiculous in this game. Recoil and the visual feedback, more than if you're getting shot, it's like, this is what it feels like in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 when you're getting shot. When you get shot, even if you're on target, you just shoot in everywhere. The screen is just freaking like you've got Parkinson's. You're like, that's what it feels like. It just feels like I'm trying to control this gun, and it's not just the attachments on the gun that I've installed. Tried all of them. It's just the visual blur. Even if you turn motion blur off, it's just like trying to immerse you in the game, but then you need to dial it down. That's going to be the primary concern of a lot of COD fans. The ill rank.
Are they
going to
dial it down? I mean,
they need to, because everyone's going to complain. Everyone's already complaining. I'm complaining. It's like it's ridiculous. Like, it's already hard to control high recoil. On top of it, you're making the screen shake and motion blur and just spitting at me. And it's a full-on visual bukkake in your face, and you're trying to hit your target.
Wow!
It's so low. It's Jesus. Mad.
I'm going to go to Google.
Do not type that into Google.
No. Please talk about it no further, unless you want to get demonetized.
No, we're good. I think we're good. If I want to get demonetized, I'd show that crazy, goofy looking Grand Theft Auto guy with his arm dislocated. But Gaz, I mean, do you like it or not? Are you canceling your pre-order? You paid for the pre-order on PlayStation.
I will buy
it.
There are bits of it I like. The latency. I was going to work on a video on it. I've been recording it, and there's some like hitches. I think I will enjoy it, but I will have to enjoy this game as not as a Call of Duty game. And once I remove that out of it, and once I get a decent team, that because that's all of this is going to be. If it's going to be like Rainbow Six, it's going to be more tactical, more moving around. I welcome the change. I don't know if the COD community is ready for the change, but people need to mentally be ready and say perhaps final product's not there yet, but perhaps say goodbye to what they thought was the COD game they're getting. So It remains to be seen. It remains to be seen. It's a beta. Things could change. But there are real serious concerns. I won't just chalk it up to ponies being dramatic. Of course, a lot, 90% of it is that. But there are a few concerns there. And I share them. Map design is amazing. There are a lot of great things on there. It feels weighty. Feels solid. It's just, there's a lot there. I like the sound design because I could hear what surface they're running on. But then it's a bit too powerful. Like, then you know campers can, I can close my eyes and almost track where they're coming. In 2019, it was rubbish. Not ninja perk, the silent footsteps.
Yeah.
That's enough perk and power. There are some problems there, but the menus suck. But oh yeah, I could talk about it all day. Sorry, I'm a bit caught head. I don't know if people are interested in that, but yeah. You can help me out, chat. I need a good team. Not cult. A good team.
You, Gaz!
That was a late reaction.
I'm trying to catch.
I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that, Tom Warren, who writes for The Verge? Yes, for The Verge. He said, Call of Duty's like, we need the game to be, I have the quote here. PlayStation said, Sony and others need guarantees that all games will remain on competing platforms on equal terms and forever, while at the same day, they have exclusivity, early access beta maps, and sequin hats to wear in Call of Duty. All this extra content. Okay. It's absolute hypocrisy. And I covered it in my video last week where I said, just straight up, Mag, I said, Sony says we're trying to protect the gamers, but when you look at who's left in this discussion, it's not Nintendo because they don't get Call of Duty games anymore. They don't get a port anymore.
No.
The only one is left is them. They're pretending they are protecting the gamers. Basically, Sony is saying, please help us because the majority of their money every year comes from Call of Duty and Minecraft. It's correct. It's absolute hypocrisy. Well, let me, Gaz, you always kick me off my game, but one thing when we were talking about these exclusive deals is there was a picture went up of Phil Spencer and Kojima, like they're in Japan in his studio talking, planning the next big thing. What is going on? There was receipts from PlayStation guys who said there's no exclusive Kojima game, or the rumored new game from Kojima was going to be a PlayStation exclusive. What's going on with that? It's such sauce material.
I feel like because of Xbox's showcase and the way they structure it, and generally, in my opinion, very poor. The reaction to Kojima's being on stage because it was leaked still wasn't felt like as it should have been. But the moment this happened, where Phil Spencer standing next to Kojima and the team is standing next to Kojima, then it felt real. Then it felt like, oh, damn. And the receipts were glorious because this is after the showcase, I pushed out a tweet saying, shout out to Jeff Grubb for being one of the few reliable insiders, because he got it in the neck from like all the PlayStation fanboys, like insulting him, mocking him, loads of memes of this face as a clown. Like, remember when he said this? Nowhere to be seen. All I hear is just tumbleweed. So I pushed that tweet out. I was like, yo, man, respect to Jeff Grubb. All you people doubted him. And he got, and to be fair, he was remarkably, if it was me and I went through all of what he did, I would make a video, literal video caricatures of everyone and me defecating on them. But Jeff Grubb, being the gentleman that he is, didn't even acknowledge us. Didn't even say, see, I told you so. He, just being the classy gent that he is, said,
he did that. He didn't do that because those voices don't matter whatsoever.
It's true. Whatsoever. He's a nice guy. But it does matter because it's fun to say. But the Sony guys are now receding back as the reality of Kojima and Xbox working together is great. Now I'm seeing another now I'm seeing downplaying. Oh, it's only a cloud game or a cloud-based game. And just like whatever you would say, it would change. At the same time, I will say this. People downplayed. Xbox guys downplayed Kojima's games a lot. Death Stranding a
and
lot.
I'm not,
people are celebrating now. And
I am not a Kojima fan. I've said it many times, even though I've been playing Death Stranding. I'm not a Kojima fan because he draws things out. Things are really outlandish. But what I do know from Kojima is he sort of tests a big idea in one game. Because if you've played Metal Gear Solid 5... I think that's what it's called.
I thought it was overrated.
Yeah. I got 40 hours in it and I just gave up. I got really far and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too weird. You see some things carry over to Death Stranding. And then he does some big things with Death Stranding where everyone in the world, their contribution is there for you to utilize or to add to. It's about the connection where people can put down things that make it easier to traverse and you can add to it or you can use it to your advantage. And it's all connected through this web thing. So you can guarantee that whatever he's doing with the cloud will be something that he couldn't do with just traditional server-based connections on console. So you're going to see a big game, a big, massive cinematic game from Kojima, exclusive to Xbox, with some crazy next-gen only thing. And I use that word next-gen because it's something you wouldn't see on just a console because cloud and the new hardware and the... You know, as we move forward several years, something big. Meg, do you care about this new Kojima project? What do you think it is?
I'm curious. I'm intrigued. I'm hit and miss with Kojima. Now, here's the thing. Like, I love the original Metal Gears. I think Metal Gear Solid 2 was one of the best games I ever played in the 90s. I thought that was an incredible game. I played that game over and over and over. And then I would go back and then do it again. And then I'd say, let me see if I can finish this whole level without anybody being alerted or whatever, right?
Wow.
So I was obsessed with some of that stuff. It was fantastic. And Snake Eater was interesting, too. One of the mechanics where you were able to actually kill and eat animals and things like that in order to survive. Interesting little mechanics, and he adds these different things in the different games. Now, you did mention something, like you look at Death Stranding, and that was supposed to be, in one way or another, a global effort, right? It was like gamers from all over the world would be able to actually contribute to the world and everything else, right? So I found that to be intriguing and interesting. I just think that the delivery or the execution of the product wasn't exactly what... Wow, I didn't even realize I did that. There it is, folks. Gaz caught it. But anyhow, it's the execution of the product, I don't think was exactly a barn burner, in my personal opinion. Now,
sure,
this thing may be a little bit more fine-tuned because maybe he could see what he did with Death Stranding and then maybe sort of fine-tune it into a better product, maybe a tighter product the next time and say, okay, you know what? The critical response wasn't as hot. Not a lot of people played it. Maybe I could do this or adjust this. He is not a stupid man. This is a very observant man. He's a man who observes his own product and observes his own artistic expression and says, how can I make this better for the next time? If anybody knows anything about Japanese culture, one of the things that they like to say is living through constant improvement. It's a parable that they use in Japan a lot.
Okay.
Constant improvement. Okay, and that's something that a lot of them live by. Kojima 100% lives by that too. I could see that whatever this project is going to be a tighter, better executed version of Death Stranding. Now,
with more combat, I think that's one of the big takeaways he gets from feedback about Death Stranding. Like, I'm sure he knows everybody loved that, although all those people loved that game, but they just felt like there needed to be more combat and more action. And I'm sure that's what he's going to do.
How do we know what kind of game we're getting, though? Like, it could be a horror game.
It could be a horror
survival game. Can you imagine if it was a horror survival game, for example, that you could leave a couple of bullets for? Like, let's say I'm doing a run, okay? And I'm like, all right, Colt, listen, I'm going to go into this mansion. I'm going to go tackle the first floor and see what I can deal with here. I find a few things. Maybe I got a couple lockpicks, like Resident Evil style, something like that. Guess what? Maybe I could leave a box of bullets for Colt. So that maybe that later that night, Colt comes into the game and I left a box of bullets and I can leave him a message. Colt, check the second drawer, left side of the cabinet in the dining room. I left your box of bullets in there. There's a lady over there with some kind of, I don't know, a banshee or something. She's waiting for you on the other side of that door. She killed me, but here, take my stuff, go check it out, see if you can do something. You never know. We don't know what we're going to get. And I think if it was something like that, that'd be a lot of fun. So I'm intrigued. I'm obviously going to play it. It's obviously going to be on Game Pass. So it's not really, you know what I mean? There's no real like risk, like purchase risk for us to play this thing. It's just a matter of waiting. Right. And I think it's going to I think it's going to be a matter of years before we actually see this thing into fruition.
Yeah.
So my guess is 2024, 2025. My guess is probably 2025, knowing him. And that's fine.
Yeah,
we have other things to do between now and then. So when it does come, I'm interested. And obviously, like I said, the purchase barrier has been removed. So therefore, we have access to it. It's just a matter of waiting for it to be released. And I'm in there day one because I'll be interested to see what he does. Even if you don't like his stuff, you have to appreciate his creative mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you have to. That's one thing I will always rate about him. But I don't want this. Look, the cloud stuff, look, it can go one of two ways. It can go the way you're saying, Mag, and it could be an incremental, maybe perhaps an upgrade or embellishing on the idea of the executed idea in Death Stranding of a shared world. But I'm hoping, and I'm not, and the jury's out here on what Kojima does, but I'm hoping they properly leverage the cloud, because we have been told, and I truly do believe the tech can enable many great things, AI, density. I know he's not going to approach it from a raw visual, a raw technical perspective. He's going to try and do it as a creative visionary. How can you leverage a connected world and cloud tech in this game? But I know I haven't played Death Stranding. I'll try it because people keep telling me you're missing out. And I've gotten PlayStation, so I'll play it there. But I don't know. I need to be proven. I'm grateful he's doing it. I love the fact that someone like Kojima is taking risks and delivering something creative, especially on Xbox. Because I think we need those crazy, wild games on Xbox more. So it's really, like, Xbox has so much variety now. With Kojima there, that statement will trigger ponies for a reason. It's a very strong... Do you not remember when Colin Moriarty said a year ago, like, PlayStation cannot afford to have Kojima work with Xbox? The optics of it would disrupt it. Do you remember that?
And it did.
I remember
and
that.
And it happened. This is what I'm saying. People, you guys are so, like... You guys gotta have a go at me for being so critical and spoil and being unbearable with my critique. But you're also being so, like, spoiled. Like, you're asking about other... People are asking about acquisitions after ABK, and ABK is not done. Xbox has more than enough. More than enough.
Xbox so much has... Variety. Xbox has not released one game, I don't think, from any of their acquisitions since 2018. Not one exclusive, I don't think.
Psychonauts
is a multiplat.
Oh, that's right. True. That's right. Yeah. You're right.
I know. I might be missing one game. It doesn't matter. The point still stands. Like, Xbox Game Studios was established 4 years ago, and we've yet to see a release because games take 5 or 6 years. And then there was those contractual obligations. It's been ridiculous. But one thing I have realized, Mag and Gaz, is that over these years, you know, people come at us, right? But the PlayStation fans have been wrong the whole time. The whole time, their narrative, what they thought was going to happen, they've just been wrong. Here is Kojima making an Xbox game. I don't even want to talk about Kojima any longer because it'll bore me to tears talking about what could be. Yeah, or, you know, it's like, yeah, all I know is when I saw Death Stranding the first time and I saw the cutscenes, I was like, wow, that's some high quality stuff. It's super weird. I might not like it, but I respect it. And that's why I'm playing it now.
I loved it.
On Game Pass.
When it first came off, I loved it. It's just when me and Asa went to see the showcase of it and the gameplay of it, I'm like, what?
I mean, I want that to be a movie. I want that to be a movie, you know? Now it reminds me of that movie. We were just talking about that yesterday. The movie with Amy Adams where the inky communicating aliens. What's that called? Arrival?
Yeah.
Arrival,
Yeah, it's got like that.
Incredible movie. Incredible.
But as we go into another movie reference, I got to read my good friend Kurt5150 as a super chat. Thank you so much, Kurt. He runs the Under the Bus Network podcast that runs on Wednesday nights. They talk about music and gear and guitars and stuff. He's a big guitar geek. He says, I'd be the guest on that Sylvester Stallone show. I know how much of a fan he is of Rambo and Rocky and Cobra and Tango and Cash, all that stuff. But anyway, Assassin, thank you so much for the $10 super. Assassin, who I've been playing with lately, says, Colt, did you happen to see that list of games supposed to come out in 2023 from Xbox? And this is our next topic. He says, games like Fable, Perfect Dark, Contraband, etc. Also, say hi to Umbra. He's a great guy, and he's in the chat. Thank you, Assassin. Let me get this set up for you guys. Jeff Grubb was recently on the Xbox. Oh, my goodness. I should have wrote that down. Because I watched their podcast. He was on an Xbox podcast, and they said, I'm just going to move forward. I'm so sorry. You guys are awesome. Thank you. This community does podcasts. Great entertainment. Anyway,
smash
Jeff
the
Grubb.
Like button.
Yes, please smash hit the like button. You're having a good time. Jeff Grubb said that he saw the 2023 roadmap for Xbox before they had to delay two or three of these titles. And he said they had in the pocket, ready to plan out when they would release along the year because it would be so packed. Remember the old reference from a couple months ago, Matt, but he said we have an Excel spreadsheet because we have so many games that have been pushed into 2023. Jeff Grubb said that on that list a year ago was Perfect Dark, Fable, Hellblade 2, Contraband, Avowed, In Exile Steampunk RPG, Compulsion's RPG, and Coalition working on a new IP before Gears was set to hopefully release all of those in 2023. Now, he has caveats, as I listened to his interview today, that some of those games obviously have been pushed, or we know they've been pushed, or we have an idea, and some of these are, he thinks, a really good, strong candidate to actually release next year, in that calendar year that we're looking forward to moving forward. So, Gaz, I'm going to ask both of you each game, and then you guys tell me where you think they are, and I'll give my best from what I heard Jeff Grubb say and what I think from people I've talked to or where I've dug into. Because I really dig into these studio games a lot. I've made a lot of videos. I've done a lot of research into where they could be. You've talked to people, Gaz. Let me start with you, Gaz. Perfect Dark from The Initiative. Where do you think it's sitting and, like, released?
In the toilet, in the trash can. Dog. The Initiative. I want Perfect Dark to be really good. But I will say it's far off. It's far off. Based on everything they've said, it's early in development with Crystal Dynamics and lots of departures from their own core studio. It's far off.
So they're
or studio mismatch.
They had like a listing and Perfect Dark was in the 2023 category. So how far off do you think that things have changed? They'd already had the Crystal Dynamics in the pipeline. They already brought them on. So where do you think it is?
It's not coming anytime before 2024. That's for sure. We'll see gameplay. I'll be surprised if we see gameplay for it in 2023.
Okay.
I'll be surprised.
Mag, what do you think?
We might get an early look, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll get an early look in 2023. It's not going to now.
I agree.
There's two reasons. One, it's much earlier in development that they're actually saying. Yeah. I know there's that picture we saw like a year ago. Like, oh, there's my daughter playing it. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's ready. And I'm like, no, it's not. That could have been a stick figure walking around. Okay,
she was like, playing, you know what I mean? That equivalent of Grand Theft Auto 6 leak, right?
Right. It could have been with
like the lines and the code all over it. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and then you have like a little stick figure doing like the GTA 3 walk, you know, like doing this. Like, it could have been anything like that. Anyway, the thing is, but anyways, the other reason why, there's two reasons. That's the first reason. One, because I think it's a lot earlier in development than people think. The second reason is that there's no rush. They don't need to, you know, back up the dump truck and dump all these games in 2023 and then leave 2024 a little bit more barren. They can afford to spread these games out because Sony does it, as far as I can see, and as far as most of us can see, 2023 is going to be a little bit quieter. Now, the reason why 2022 was so hot for Sony is because they delayed all the 2021 games into 2022. But if you actually look at 2023, what do you got going on?
You've Spider-Man 2 and
Forspoken in January, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then they got the marketing rights for Hogwarts, which means nothing because we could play it anywhere. So, you know what I'm saying? So Microsoft is looking at that too. So this is something that we have to the list that you're going to give us in the next few minutes here of all these games, the caveat is going to be what is Sony releasing in 2023 and what is the motivation for Xbox to do so? There isn't any motivation. And if they get Call of Duty, I'm not going to go on a tangent here. I'm just going to say, and if they get the ABK deal under control, guess what? All the Call of Duties are going to be in Game Pass. That's a win in itself. So they could postpone all these games to further down the road. Anyway, to answer your question, 2024.
Okay, I agree with you. I'm staying on Mag's side, but Zucker in the chat says they aren't spreading anything out. And I also agree with Zucker because the only thing that's going to get spread out, don't, Gaz, stop. The only thing that's going to get spread out is things that need to be moved. You know, if something's like, hey, we need six more months. Frick,
that's what I'm
tired
saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're pulling games away from 2023. They are releasing a ton of content. But what I'm saying is, if anything even needs remotely a little bit more of time, they're not going to rush it because there's no need.
Especially right? With Perfect Dark, the optics of that failing would be bad. You have to get Perfect Dark right. It has to score, and it has to score well. If you're sitting there on 82 meta and you're celebrating that when Perfect Dark comes out, I will break Yikes. Your eyelashes.
It's only 5 points lower in Ratchet and Clank or something like that.
The next one, guys.
Let's move forward. The next one is Fable. Now, Xbox is saying a year ago, they're like, we think maybe Fable might be ready for 2023. What's going on there?
2024 Fable.
For release?
Matt Booty gave an indication that's coming. Wait, 2024, late 2024, maybe 2025. Yep. I feel like I'm being a bit ambitious, chat. Let me know what you think. I think 2024, Matt Booty said he really wants to share. Obviously, the quality is there.
And yes, good point.
Thinks, right.
Matt did say that he's basically like, can I show this? And they're like, not yet. Yeah. So that screams
and they've been working
less
on it for
years.
Ages. Since 2018, bro. 2018, bro. By Hoggy's formula. 2018, what is it? 3 years for development?
That's 6 years. Yeah. Yeah, that's 6 years. That makes sense. Meg, do you agree or disagree, Fable?
Once again, I have to agree. It's not coming 2023. Minimum 2024, I think. Okay. But the thing is, a year is a year. So it could go anywhere. It could go anywhere. It could be the spring. It could be the fall. Again, it all depends on what Sony does. Because if you're going to have a big game like that, why just launch it in the middle of nowhere? Or why go up against, like, let's say a Wolverine or something like that. You know, space it out. So I think it's somewhere in that year. And by the way,
I don't think Microsoft's worried about going up against the PlayStation game all that much. But anyway, go ahead. Shout out to
Phil Spencer. I don't mean like direct. Like, they're not worried about it directly. But what I'm saying is, if you strategically place it in different areas, your engagement's going to be higher, right?
So yeah, that's true. Don't release next to God of War.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't release next to what's it called, Zelda. Laurels of the Hardy or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Yeah. Laurels of the Hardy.
I don't remember what it's
Tears
called.
Tears of the Kingdom.
And those released close. Against your own Call of Duty. which right. By then it'll be their own Call of Duty. Anyway, okay. I was going to say, shout out to Phil Spencer for saying more on that later. It's been 6 years, Phil! You guys remember that announcement? He says they're going to use their open world expertise on a game coming soon. He said, more on that later.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Phil, my son was in diapers when it happened. I go, now he's going to high school. Later is a long time, apparently. Anyways, I'm just kidding.
I do get those comments. Like, I'm going to be in college by the time Perfect Dark comes out. The next game, Jeff Grubb says, I could really see this release in 2023, but he goes, it could get pushed. He thinks Hellblade 2 has a really good chance of coming out. Holiday 2023. Gents, where are you on that one? Holiday? Okay. Let me move to the next one. Contraband was rumored to need an extra year, and I've reported in a few videos that it was set for 2022. Is Contraband, were we going to see it at... Gaz, are we going to see Contraband at the E3 showcase in June with a release like that fall?
Yes. We should see it in the E3 next year. It should be there. I think based on... the premise of the game is all quite obvious. I would be very, I wouldn't be very surprised, but I would think, oh, why have they not shown Contraband? That's something they should show.
I expected to see it this summer.
Yeah, I expected it as well. So I do expect an E3 show for that. Maybe even the Game Awards, because that's coming.
Yeah, it's not fun sitting at the showcase and going, at, it ends, and you're like, well, that was pretty good. And they're like, wait a minute, where's Fable? Where's Avowed? Where's Hellblade? Everything. Where's, you know, on and on and
everything.
On.
Everything.
But hey, we got Pentiment.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to be streaming that game live. Okay, Gaz, take it easy there. You know what? Anyways, I'm streaming the game live just so you know, because I apparently I had a complete meltdown during the live show, when they show Pentiment. I freaked out and apparently became legendary, where everybody's like, Mag, that was the funniest reaction to a trailer I've ever seen in my life. So what I'm going to do is, when the game comes out, I'm actually going to be live streaming it and hopefully doing it for charity. And I'm going to do all the voices myself, because there's no voice work in the game. So I'm going to do all the voices myself in all different English accents. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh, that's going to be good. That's gonna
be good. God. I'm going to be so excited. I'm gonna be.
Was that your foot, Gaz? That I just saw.
It was his foot.
We should get all our feet. Get our feet on the podcast for hit the like button if you like feet, please. Now, if you're having a good time here, show your support. Yeah, show your support. Yeah. You know, this is the Ecstasy Podcast, and this is episode 69. And I've only been running this show about a year and a half, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But I'm having a really good time. Chat's amazing. Thank you all for being here. The next game is Avowed. I told people to expect to see Avowed, and it's not here, and you need to see it a year to 6 months before it releases. So, Mag, where's Avowed? Is it a 2023 game still?
Well, I don't think so. Once again, I think they're going to hold off on this. It's a big game. I don't think there's any need to launch it in the fall of next year. Now, this all depends on when Redfall and Starfield launch. That's the key to all this, because
let's say quickly, guys.
All right,
when you think Redfall and Starfield are releasing, because I have my best educated guess.
I still think that it's going to be May for Starfield, and I think Redfall is going to be mid to late summer. Like, I'm thinking July, August, somewhere in the lull.
Late, where are you guys?
Late holiday for Starfield. What?
I have a feeling that Redfall is going to release in the late spring. Like, for some reason, it's. I just have a feeling that they're gonna have it ready like right before the summer, and then it's gonna have its issues that they're gonna have to iron out. That's gonna suck. And then I feel like they're not gonna say anything about Starfield until the E3 showcase, and they're gonna say coming October or September, maybe even November again.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I don't see there any reason to release Avowed. What I do see them doing, if they are going to release Starfield closer to the fall, then I could see a Contraband coming out, because Contraband to me comes across as like a Deathloop level, like AAA game. You know what I mean? Like, not monster AAA game, but it's going to be a good game, but it's something that could be complementary next to a Starfield. But you do not want to launch a Starfield.
Avowed is coming 2024.
Two epic RPGs. Right. And then the possibility of a Senua's Saga on top of that, you're not going to do that. That's like releasing Grand Theft Auto next to like God of War, next to Call of Duty, all in the same week. That's
like
not
eating Oreos
happen.
And Chips Ahoy all in the same hand. Yeah, it just doesn't really
no, it's
do.
Not going to happen. So I think that they'll release a Contraband Starfield combo for the fall. That makes a lot of sense to me. And also, they're probably going to get marketing rights for the new Battlefield, which I believe is coming next year, the Vince Zampella one. So, the reboot, whatever the hell they're doing.
We forget
over there.
About these amazing multiplats because we just get in the exclusive
Ryan,
talk.
Damn,
yeah.
Don't forget about these things. You guys remember the infamous year of Call of Duty, Battlefield, and Titanfall 2 all came out in the same week?
Yeah, 2016.
And then 2 out of 3 almost tanked because of it. Like, it was a disaster. So you have to keep this in mind. So I think it's going to be, if you're right, Colt, let's go Starfield and let's go with Contraband in the fall that year. Avowed and Senua's Saga, push them off to January, February.
I like that.
Because PlayStation has a history of this. Gaz, hear me out.
Fight, Gaz.
They've been doing this between January and March. Between January and March, PlayStation is releasing a lot of big bangers that have done very well for them because it's a quieter time of year. Capcom, also a history of doing this over the last 5 years. So why not? Throw a Senua's Saga in February.
What do you have to say, guys?
Senua's Hellblade.
Oh, sorry, Avowed. Sorry, my bad. Go ahead. Sorry.
Avowed is not coming till next year. I'll be shocked. What would be... It makes no even sense throwing another RPG under the bus after Starfield is going to eclipse... Everything. Avowed,
throwing what in after Starfield?
Huh?
Throwing in what after Starfield?
Avowed. It has to be after. It cannot be in 2023. Avowed is not coming out in 2023. Avowed is coming in 2024 at the earliest. Hellblade in February, first half of 2024. Then you have Pace Avowed later that year. Makes complete sense. And maybe the Indiana Jones game.
I forgot about that.
People aren't ready. I mean, it's been a ridiculous decade. With, I have to remind people, Mag, that last generation Xbox had four studios, two Forza studios, one Halo studio, and I don't even remember what the fourth one is. That's how bad.
And now
it
feels like Gears. Four studios.
Yeah, thank you, Mag. Yeah, it was Gears, Halo, and two Forza studios. That was really all they had. That's all they had.
It was just called Black Tusk and whatever the hell it was. And then the other studio.
Now you see
the picture that's being painted here of all these games that you're naming. And then all of a sudden Gaz drops the bomb about Indy Jones, which we forgot about clearly. Mm-hmm. And some other games that they got coming out.
We don't even know about it
there
yet.
There is no way. Solidifying what I'm saying is that there's no way they're going to do this.
Here's the deal. Xbox, except for this year, which has been unprecedentedly bad, right? Xbox normally has two major games per year. PlayStation usually has three, maybe four if they've got some third-party deals, right? That's really don't mince with me about it. Don't try to smack me in the back of the head. Like, really, the big popular games, Xbox will have one or two. PlayStation usually have maybe three or four. And that's the way it's been. So what we're looking at in 2023 is PlayStation will have two or three big games. Xbox could probably have four. But after that, PlayStation just doesn't have enough workforce to put out that kind of output. And with Game Pass, you can see why Jim Ryan's scared. And I have to move into these supers because this show is crazy. Let's see. We got Danny Patch Official, who's got two supers. He says, Microsoft needs a handheld console that plays native Game Pass games. He says, I realized this after getting a Steam Deck. I made a video about the handheld. 12,000 people watched it, which is far fewer than what I'm used to. And that really said to me, guys, is that I don't think the majority of Xbox fans want them to make a handheld. I don't know why. I think it's a good idea. But I don't know. The Steam Deck's huge. I just feel like if Xbox did it, I don't know. I just don't know.
The cell phone. Steam Deck. You got your cell phone and you got a Steam Deck.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, and I'll remind everybody that they want Xbox to have that blazing blast, logo speared handheld from Xbox. And, you know, one of those big bragging rights. But Xbox looks at it and goes, why should we spend the money on something like that? They have other ideas. I'm glad they're actually spending money on games, guys. Let me move forward. Risk for the biscuit. Thank you for the Australian $8. It says, Modern Warfare 2 is amazing. Love the tactical feel. Graphically amazing. Perks are fair. Gun bench is awesome. These guys capped for Battlefield 2042, but they hate this. Jedi Knight Peter, another great Australian who I hang out with a lot. Hang out with these guys on chat. He has, thank you for the five. He says, are the panel excited for Call of Duty Modern Warfare raids meant to be a two-hour experience per raid? Sounds awesome. I didn't even know this exists. Gaz, real quick, do you know about these raids? This is like an online Call of Duty Destiny style raid.
What are you talking about?
I've never heard of it. He says Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 raids meant to be 2 hour experiences per raid with your friends. He says, sounds awesome to me.
Well, so like, I've not heard of that. That sounds amazing.
So what? Like Destiny, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like a Destiny raid. PvE raids? Is that what they're talking about? I haven't heard of that. That sounds
great. If it was PvE, I would check it out. I love co-op more than anything. Edwin, that's cool. Thank you, Jedi. Edwin Garcia, thank you for the five. He says, they changed the mini-map as well in COD. When someone shoots a gun, a red dot would indicate their location. That was part of the beta, he means. This is Call of Duty 4. 108 Dragon, good friend, says, Colt, Gaz, Mag, my guy, what's goody, Gaz? Don't worry, Xbox players will carry the game. It's awesome. I got you, brother. And Red Wolf, thank you for the five, says, had a great time this weekend. Sadly, it's wedding season. He's a videographer. He says, I'm booked for the next three weekends. I will jump with you guys ASAP. Much love. Red Wolf, we'll do this. The XCC club, like on weeknights too. And if you fancy losing sleep to play video games, we'll do it, right? Risk for the Biscuit says, Xbox focusing on quality, not cadence. I respect that. And I'm glad they are allowing themselves to delay, even though it makes them look really incompetent, guys. Right?
Yes.
A couple more. Hargeet says, Hellblade will likely get its release date on the Game Awards. It makes more sense for a January, March release. So Hargeet agrees with you, Mag. And
thank
it
you.
Should have. Yeah, Hargeet's amazing. Yes. I also expected Hellblade to have its final reveal last December at the Game Awards. And it was a no-show, unfortunately. Paul, thank you so much for the 10. He says, didn't Xbox say during their showcase in June that all games would be shown within the next 12 months? So you guys are saying Starfield would get delayed again till the fall? I think they're going to do a soft delay because they don't have a release date. They just said summer. What did they say? Did they say summer 2023?
No, they said 12 months. The next 12 months is when these games coming out. But they, if you paid attention, the segment ends and then Phil Spence talks about games further on. And
that's where Starfield shows up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but they still stuck to everything we showed was 12 months. I think we're going to get like this stealth, we didn't say a date, soft, what do you call that, Mag? Like, they're just going to...
I don't know what
a soft delay.
Yeah, soft delay sounds about right. That's a good phrase. I'd go with that. But you know what the thing is? If you stay vague enough, like, you could get away with pretty much anything, right? And the thing is, if you're masking it with other content, you guys got other games coming, then it's fine. People will wait. You know what I mean? But the problem is, the reason why 2022 was such... The reason when it was so bad when those other two got delayed, when Redfall and Starfield got delayed, it was magnified because they had nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It burned.
So, like, instead of it being this big, it was this big because there was nothing else coming the whole year, right? So it left a gaping hole. But the fact is, they've got other games that they could plug in that spot. I don't see any problem with them moving it into the fall because why not? If they got other games for people to play, you should be fine.
I'm just going to say, for anybody watching or is like paying attention to what we're saying, you guys are amazing. But just expect that summer season to come and almost go. And then, I think what they'll do is they'll show the game will look fantastic. They'll show more at the next showcase in June next year. And that's when they'll give that date. And you're like, what? I thought it would be in the summer. In the summer, technically be September 21st for the world, I think.
Yeah, it's
Oh, no, not for the world, because on the hemisphere it changes and the geometrics and the blah, blah, blah.
For us,
yes. I
now,
think...
Hold on. You guys are forgetting an ace in the... Sorry, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Sorry. Finish
no,
your
no,
thought.
No. I'm just trying to set up... I just expect it 100% that it won't land before September. It'll be like a month later, and they'll quietly need that 1 month to make sure the game comes out and it's not really messy. And I think... That's a good thing. You got to be patient with a big game like Starfield. What? Who? What?
There's something we're forgetting.
Straggly Rock wanted me to say ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh. there's an ace in the hole we're forgetting about here, guys. And this is also going to affect the release dates of new games. I know some people say I'm crazy. I'm not when it comes to this. Okay.
The Joker.
If and when the ABK deal goes through, they could do a Game Pass dump of all the Activision Blizzard titles into Game Pass that could buy them months of time. Because if you drop all that content, you're not going to drop all that content at once, but they could do it in chunks like they did with Bethesda. You remember when they picked up Bethesda and then they did chunks?
They dropped 20, the first run.
Right. And then they did another run, and then they did a much smaller run on the third time, right? But what did that do? That bought them like 5 or 6 months worth of content that people were super excited about, right? And so a lot of people went in there and played a lot of those games. It was amazing. The engagement on games that people hadn't purchased the first time around, like what the hell is it called? The one that Rand likes. Damn it, it starts with a D. The one with the, it's like a cyber, like a... Yeah, I know. Thank you, guys.
Dangerous My Little Pony?
Disavowed? What the hell is it called?
Dishonored.
Dishonored, for the love of
Christ. Disavowed?
Yeah,
ow!
Disavowed. I got all screwed up in my head. You know it's getting late over here when. Anyways, the point is that you know they could do that. All of a sudden, what if Phil just says, you know what, let's drop all the Call of Duties, 15 Call of Duties in the months of February and March.
They will.
And that will. Yeah. And then when you do that, why drop a new game? Hang on to it.
They should do a month a COD. So experience a COD game, because otherwise you're not gonna. It's gonna drown and it's gonna be noise.
Of course,
I've also seen Xbox
1 or 2 month Advanced Warfare month. Yeah,
I've also seen Xbox drop a big like chunk of games. Like when they dropped the Bethesda games, they had something out for us to play, and I'm like, oh, I don't really have time to play these older Bethesda games you just dropped in there because we have other stuff out. I'm going to predict that when they do that Activision dump, Mag, that it will be really close to some release. They're not going to use it as a pillow, like a pillow buffer or something. I think Xbox is in a situation because 108 Dragons says you forgot about Forza Motorsport, and then it's someone else in the chat. Let me scroll up to it. Says, ADR said, Forza Motorsport win, no new updates. Well, they just said, last week I made a video on it, they said in the next few months we're going to have a major update for the game to be ready for next year. And next few months puts them at the end of the year, like in December. I don't think they're going to wait till January to have the next major update, but they need to be more specific, and I think the game is probably going to come out by summer. Maybe spring, but probably summer, as they get like a little more polishing phase. And you're right, who was the super that said, Risk It said, I respect their cadence on quality, because now we're finally seeing Xbox say, you know, just give them 3 more months and have, you know, the fans are going to have to deal with it because we're tired of putting these games out, you know, half finished, and it's been a problem in the industry. Red Wolf says, Starfield, where will everyone's home base be? Will you live amongst the stars, in your ship, a desolate planet, or an outpost, or with your parents?
I'm going to be on Earth. Position it right next to Studio Redmond with so I can put a rifle on the exec's head and finish those games.
A laser. A laser.
Fire the laser. I can't wait to play that game, by the way.
Get the game finished, or I'm going to use this laser to remove your hair follicles. Yeah. Ham Solo, who's had some good takes in the chat tonight, says, Xbox for life, brother. NWO hashtag. Wolfpack. Yeah, hashtag too sweet, and hashtag hey yo. We got a couple more here. In Exiles RPG is, Jeff Grubb says, they're steampunk first-person Fallout style almost RPG. Now remember, this is the team that created the original Fallout and made Fallout. Some people worked on Fallout New Vegas, so this team knows Fallout. So I think this is their crack at the first-person, you know, steampunk Fallout style game. Jeff Grubb said that could be shown this year or make its appearance next year. So. Compulsion, I said earlier, and the Coalition is working on a new IP that they're going to have ready for 2023 or 2024 that is not Gears. But news that comes out of this that you all probably missed, even the chat, was that today we found out that State of Decay is not only an Unreal Engine 5 game, but Coalition is up there helping them, or down there, because Coalition's up in Canada. Did you know this, Gaz, that the Coalition is hands-on helping State of Decay 3?
I did read up on that. Slightly mixed feelings about that, because we did hear also of State of Decay's some internal turmoils and some differences
about a
whatnot.
Year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Coalition being drafted in to help another studio, in my opinion, generally, though, is nice, because one of the things we talk about or we're excited about at the prospect of ZeniMax is the technology sharing between studios. Now, if this is a lifeboat situation, like I think the initiative almost kind of is, kind of, I know they're incubated studio, blah, blah, blah. But if it the Coalition are incredible. They're incredibly talented. State of Decay 3, running on Unreal Engine 5, perhaps that's the main reason why, because Coalition are wizards.
State of Decay, they are the Unreal Engine 5, yeah.
Absolutely. And State of Decay 3 is going to be, or supposed to be, the culmination of all their efforts of what their vision, the ultimate State of Decay game. And the ceiling for what a State of Decay, you know, massively multiplayer online or persisting online game, looking really sharp and Unreal Engine 5 and then being assisted by Coalition, has me really excited. 2024 at the earliest, though. I don't think it's coming out anywhere next year. Come on, man. They're not going to release that next year. We haven't seen any gameplay for next year. 2024 earliest, you're looking at 2025, in my opinion. But the Coalition's game shown off next year, or maybe at this VGA's, would be impressive, man. Like, I'm so glad they're not working on another Gears. So glad.
That's, yeah, kind of am too.
Yeah, they needed a break. They needed a break. They needed to move their talent into something else. You know what I mean? Like, just like let them spread their wings a little bit before they go back to the franchise, and maybe that'll give them a fresher perspective for like a Gear 6, right? I know that sounds like an oxymoron, like a fresh perspective for the sixth entry of a game.
It's true. You said it. That's a perfect way to say it, because Gears 4, they had to prove they could make a Gears game when most of the Epic people left. And so they kind of had to ride the line and kind of do that whole thing where you have to treat the franchise with its respect and its fans. And then in 5, they tried to stretch out, but they feel like they can't stretch out enough. And Way Johnson 1 in the chat says Coalition is there helping him with mocap, which is something that State of Decay needed.
Mocap on State of Decay? Yeah. Ooh, man, is that true? Because that's
because everything in as far as I know. Work. Yes, Gaz. Because as far as everything I know and what I've played so much of State of Decay 2, is it looks pretty nice, but you can tell it's all hand animated. At least I'm pretty sure that, you know, your character's got to stick up butt when they run, and some of the animation you do are obviously they're when they puppet them, they're pulling the strings in the code to make their arms do things.
It looks like a little bit
rig, the rig animation, the rigging. Yeah, they're using animation rigging. You know, we need them to look like they're going through a drawer, and they just kind of do this. They make a popcorn ball, after playing Days Gone, I'm like, oh man, I really like State of Decay, but Days Gone just has that production value, and so it sounds like we're gonna get that with State of Decay 3, and they want that, right?
Amazing.
So let me move.
The potential is high, so high. The potential.
So Deathloop's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow the 20th, if you're in North America, in about 24 hours from now, Deathloop will be on. And hopefully I have something really cool to share tomorrow regarding Deathloop. I can't say anything more than that, but I'm really excited. And we're getting like the full meal deal, Mag. Like Xbox is getting the non-beta version of Deathloop. Thank you, PlayStation fans, for beta testing the game for 1 year. We're getting all the content. We're getting the FSR 2.0. We're getting 4K 60. We're getting 4K 30 with ray tracing. And it's going to be fantastic. Tim Dog said he's going to play it at 30 frames, guys. Paris in the chat.
King David said that last year, and I was on a show with him. I think it was last September, October, and he says, "No, let them beta test it for the year." And he says, "And then we're going to get the finished product next September." And funny enough, here we are. It's the following September, and we're getting it with all the bells and whistles. Once again, do not underestimate the predictive powers of King David. He's always right. But anyways, enough.
Yeah,
of that.
Except for the PS6 thing not existing. No.
I'm still on board with him. Sony's going to become the new Sega. But anyways, that's besides the point. But yes,
you know, I wanted to talk about that. I'm trying to resist the temptation because, you know, Paris is in the chat and we were kind of chiming in today because I have this, and it's my personal opinion. I have a personal opinion that in 15 years, maybe 10 years, the majority of us won't be playing on a console because loading up on demand will feel so great. You won't miss your CD player and your DVD player. And you have to think in 10 years, a lot can move, or I would really hold on to the 15 years. But I really think that PlayStation and Xbox are going to make their one more console next generation. And then after that, they really got to scratch their heads and decide if they're going to make consoles anymore when people don't really use them. And you have to think this is like 2035, right? Or 2030s. And I'll be 97 years old. It'll be crazy. But we won't get into that. One more thing I have to say is it's kind of funny, but the 007, the GoldenEye announcement was long awaited. I don't know how many people are super excited, but basically what it boils down to is you're getting the same experience as you remember it on the N64. It will just be sharper. It'll be 16:9 ratio. Gaz, it will probably feel the same with a modern control layout, but not. I just don't. What do you expect from this? And I need you to kind of talk about the multiplayer debacle real quick.
So Special Nick will be happy and he'll play for 5 minutes. The rest of us will just move on and understand. Nostalgia doesn't age well. No, look, I will actually play GoldenEye. For me, by the way, the online fiasco is that, and this, if you were living under a rock, Nintendo Switch is getting online. The Xbox isn't, which is such a missed opportunity just to have some dumb fun.
It's not what you think, though.
But it's not what you think, because it's the way the Nintendo's kind of like rigging the online play, basically. It's not ideal. It's not really. Xbox isn't missing out on like key proper online. It's just emulated kind of
split screen. Yeah. The best way to explain it is if just Gaz and I were going to 1v1 each other in the multiplayer mode on GoldenEye,
I would destroy him.
We would have. Our TVs would both have both of our screens up. So I would be able to see where Gaz is and where he's running on my half of the screen. If you're going to play with your friends in four player split screen, you'd be able to see those two. You'd get one quarter of your monitor, and that's what you're getting on a Switch or docked mode, is you're getting one quarter or one half of your monitor while you see your other character, your friend online playing right next to you. So you're sharing the screen. And I don't know. Hey, can you tape your half the screen? I don't want to lose.
It's weird that the controls are going to be very tricky, because if the N64 and the C button, it didn't work. All of auto aiming was, if you played GoldenEye like as much as I did, and I played the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. I will enjoy it. I don't care for achievements, but I will like to get the 00 agent achievement, which is the hardest difficulty to complete the whole game. It's still hard.
Yeah, good luck. Those controls will not be nice to you. What do you think, Maggie? You remember how you swirl the gun around with the stick? It was...
Listen, I'm not going back, okay? I'm not going back to play it. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not lying to anybody else that this is going to be a magnificent experience. It's not... Okay, it's like I'd rather go back and play Doom 1 on Game Pass, okay? And it was just fine, and I played it for 5 minutes, and I was like, all right, I get it. Bye. I'm not going to go back to it, okay? You're not going to go back. What are you going to do? You're going to go play Resident Evil 1 with the tank controls? You remember that? You have to turn around like this. It takes you half an hour. I don't even know how we beat those games in those days. And the same thing with this. Can you imagine? I know they're going to modernize the controls, right, for 007. But
the layout, someone pointed out the chat.
Yeah, like the layout will be better, but at the end of it, what are you playing? Come on, man. It's going to look like a Rembrandt painting. You know, it's going to be like blocks and squares. And then it's just like, I shot your block.
Wrapped like a piece of cardboard, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's absolutely terrible. I don't get it. I don't get what I don't even know why, like, some people were talking about it. Some people were excited. I'm like, I don't think you guys really understand what you're getting yourself into. Wait till you turn it on, and then you're just going to go, oh! And then you're just not going to touch it again.
We are so lucky because games have evolved in such great ways over the past 20, 25 years. And I just finished Saints Row, and I went back and played Saints Third the other day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't reload the guns. Like the SMG has 422 bullets, and you just continually shoot. Like they didn't back in 2012 or 13, they didn't even have a reload button. Like, and there was another game I was playing. Crud, I forgot what it was. There's a third-person shooter from like 10 years ago, and when you reload the gun, he does the magazine animation, but no magazine comes out. Like, there's just stuff you forget. You guys have been fantastic here on the show. It's super late. Gaz has been up 3 a.m. every day this week on other amazing podcasts that we love to support. Yudani drops a... I got two more super chats. Topaz Girl 170 with a $2 thank you says, In Exile is one of the top four best Microsoft studios, in my opinion, she says, and I agree. I put Obsidian way up there. I can't wait to talk about more about them. Yudani Kazada drops a $15 gift card for Microsoft or Xbox with a code there. I go to check the topics, and Gaz is literally live writing in there, I'm naked again. You guys are so amazing. I love having you on the show. This is the XNC podcast. Thank you to about 700 people who checked us out live. We're on the Cole Eastwood channel to watch the show. You can come back and watch and see our crazy faces we make. Or we're on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. And bear with me as I get some of the ad placements in there. They're kind of weird, but they're doing some new stuff. So thank you so much for checking out the show. Gaz. You were supposed to be working on several sauce videos every other day. And what do you have in the works? Tell people before we give a shout out to Big Mag.
So I've been promising a sauce video for a while, but I also keep accepting appearing on podcasts, which I love doing. I love meeting people, brand new ones. And I'm doing one today. Then I'm doing one on Wednesday. Then I'm doing one on Thursday. After that, I'm going to chill and I'm just going to work on the videos because it's not fair for the subscribers who I promise. And I want to work on the source video. So forgive me, but it's just, I'm just got a little bit ahead of myself. It's coming.
Okay. It's coming.
And I had a great time with Mag. As always, Mag, just have so much energy and so much synergy. Thank you so much, everyone.
And cynicism. Synergy, energy, cynicism, and other words that start with S. Mag, bro,
yes, you're
so funny. You're so funny. I'm very honored to launch my show tonight with one of my favorite videos from you. You were down and out with an illness for a week, and then you just came back with more skits. But where are you at on followers, and where can people find you? Like, how famous are you?
You know, I gotta tell you, like the last, I think it was midsummer, or whatever. I released three videos in 1 week when I was on vacation or whatever, and I ended up crossing almost 1 million views on the three videos. So I was super happy about that. Obviously, that things are moving in the right direction. Now the thing is, I'm just doing it for the fun. Everybody's like, Mag, you gotta do it. You gotta get a YouTube channel, and I'm like, you know what? My work is extremely demanding, and of course I keep now I'm the big boss, so I don't have as much time to dedicate.
Can
to
I have
that
a job?
Kind of stuff. However, yeah, I do have a job. Yeah, once in a while.
No, I said, can I have a job?
Oh, no, can you kidding. Have a job? Oh, yeah. I thought you were being a smart ass. I thought you're like, you have a job, and I'm like, yes, I got a job.
No, yeah. I mean, but seriously, you have a job? No. No, we'll talk
guys.
Later. You definitely need to be uploading those to your YouTube channel. But go ahead.
I will do something at some point, but you know, as it stands right now, I've been putting everything on Twitter because I'm like, you know what? I get my point across. I get it out there. I can use whatever music I want without getting a copyright strike against me. And those are the big ones, right? So I just kind of do that for fun and I enjoy it, but I got more videos coming this week, guys. So, you know, because you know, when the ridiculous takes start showing up, that's when I start rubbing my hands together. But I can't thank you guys enough for having me on the show. Colt, Gaz, you guys are amazing. Chat, you guys are absolutely incredible. And like, I gotta tell you, man, just being on this is an absolute honor. I even called my parents and I'm like, I'm gonna be on that guy Colt show again. And they're like, oh, send us a link. My parents barely listen to my stuff, but when it's a big show like this, they want a link. So
big show.
Anyways,
shout out to my parents if they're
watching it. They're watching it.
That's
somewhere.
Awesome.
Anyways, I just wanted to thank you guys and for all the support and everything for everything that you guys have done for me. And
bro,
I 2 years ago, I never would have dreamed that this would have been a thing. And like 2 years ago, I reached out to Noof Nukem and I said, "Hey, man, I know you don't know me, but can I have a spot on your show just to try me out?" And then he says, "You know what, man? Why the hell not?" So he tried me on the show, and that's where I am now. So you know what I mean? And like, you know, it's just been a fantastic journey and meeting all you guys. And let me tell you something: in June, we're gonna be jamming it up because we're gonna be at E3. So guess what? I got a house. I'm renting a house in Hollywood. We got a whole bunch of people coming from the Primetime Gaming crew. The Iron Lords are gonna be going. Boomstick,
yes.
Kaysante, Everborn, Wandering Dutch, myself.
It's going to be mad. I will
Rand's going to be there. Zocker will probably go. I'm trying to get Dealer. Mad. You know, we're going to be in L.A., you know, watching the showcase, hanging out, going to the expos and the booths at the convention center and having a great time. And the PlayStation guys won't have a showcase because PlayStation doesn't do E3. And they'll be on Twitter. It'll be great. Oh, no, but I love all of them. I love all of them.
It's going to be fantastic.
I hope
man.
They and do it. I hope they said, do PlayStation attend.
The culmination of what I've been doing and then getting to there at E3 in June and then being able to meet all you guys in person and being part of this, like, you know what I mean? Like, in person, part of this community that we're part of is nothing short of a blessing. So I'm just happy for all of it. And I'm just happy for every last, like, you know, person that comes and checks out all of our content and all the hard work that everybody, especially these two guys, put into all their videos and all the work they do. But anyways, guys, enough yapping from me. I just wanted to say thank you so much. Everybody have a great night. Hit that like button on your way out, and we'll see you guys all very soon.
Dang, I mean, I couldn't have exited the show any better than that. Thank you so much, Mag. Like I said, we're on Spotify and Apple and Google Podcasts, the X&C Podcast, and thanks, everybody. I think I caught mostly everything, but we're going to hit the button to get out of here, and you know, thank you so much, guys. I'll see you this week with more content. Have a good night.
I'm naked again.